Yes, sir, I believe we are.
Okay, I see that it's 1:30. And if everyone's here, Cheryl, are you ready?
I am.
Okay.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Burbeau. Mr. Burbeau, you're
I'm
on.
I'm sorry, I'm here. I had to. I'm sorry. Thank yes, you. I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Bright?
Here.
Ms. Compton?
I'm here.
Mr. Gibson?
Here.
Mr. Hammond?
Here.
Mr. Heller?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg? Mr. Pichon?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mr. Storton?
Here.
And Mr. Entz?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
So we're only missing one at this time. Is that correct, Dawn?
That's correct. Ms. Ortiz-Legg is not, and I don't see her on an attendee side either.
Okay, we'll be watching for her. Thank you. With that, I'll ask Scott Newton to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and if the rest of you could mute and follow along.
Oh, President Enns, did you say Scott Newton?
Yeah, Scott Newton, please.
He's doing double duty today. The city of Pismo Beach is having their budget review, so he's going to be off and on.
Okay, then I'll ask Jeff Heller to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. With that, I'll open the...
Chair Enns, I just got a text message from Dawn Ortiz-Legg saying that she needs the codes. She says she cannot get in. She wants to join us. So could someone
please send her the codes?
I'll do that right now.
So sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. And thank you, Jan. Okay, with that, I'll open the meeting to public comment for items not on the agenda. Barbara, do I go to you for that?
Okay, at this point in time, if a member of the public is interested in making a public comment, please select the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press *9 at this time. One moment, looking. At this time, I'm not seeing, let's see here, one moment. Okay, area code 805-748-0827, you are unmuted and should be able to speak.
Patty, we're not hearing anyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm so sorry. This is Supervisor Ortiz-Legg having a challenge connecting to you all this afternoon. And so I'm wondering if I can be on this phone line and be participating through this as an attendant. It's the only way I could get in. My Zoom would not launch.
Okay. Number one, we can hear you. And Cheryl, is that going to be acceptable for the meeting?
Yes, that's fine. And also, I did want to let her, Ms. Ortiz, I did just send you a link, but I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Otherwise, I do not see anyone else who would like to speak on the attendee side.
Okay, thank you, Patty. And then we'll go directly then to item number 5, the Executive Director's Report. Brooks?
Yes, sir. Can everybody see my screen?
We can.
Okay, and I wanted to confirm with Patty, can you keep Ms. Ortiz's leg unmuted during this time?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. It's not advancing as fast as I'd like, but let me start with the expenses. The expenses are in your packet. So if you have any questions on any of the items, please let me know. Otherwise, the rate clarification that we sent out a few weeks ago has gone to all the haulers in the landfills. We've gotten a couple comments on those, and we're making sure everybody understands the concept. So I think that's a good result for now until we get the final rate resolution passed later this year. The work from home office space issue, we've been seeing what other agencies are doing, and what we're realizing is most of the jurisdictions have passed a 20% work from home policy, which is great. It probably saves some money and it prevents the commute and is good for the environment, but it probably doesn't prevent IWMA from having to have office space for staff. So we'll see how that goes looking forward with other agencies. And then the in-person meetings, again, I think the next, the governor is going to make another call June 15th and let us know about the reopening process. And from there, we'll get with the executive committee and with the board and see what the pleasure is, or if we'll keep going with Zoom. I have been continuing to do presentations to city councils on SB 1383. Mr. Heller and I did Morro Bay or his city council last night, and it went very well. But I'm happy to do those for anyone else that they'd like. The state let us know that our current JPA is not sufficient for us to be able to implement 1383 on their behalf, on everyone's behalf. So they're asking us to do an amendment to it. But what we're going to propose is to do a short amendment very quickly in May or June. And then later in the year or early next year, once everything is implemented for 1383, we would do a bigger amendment to it. And then regarding the rate increase, and I'm going to talk about the budget here in a minute, but we recognize we have to increase funding for 1383, but we're trying to dial in the amount to go from 2% to 3% or 4%. And so we need some data from the haulers. So we're going to reach out to the haulers first, but we may be getting back with the jurisdictions to assist with capturing that so we can better dial in the dollar amount and know what percentage we need to push for. And then I want to talk about our education program for just a minute. You know, we have a really great system going countywide right now, and the students are the focus of that to a huge extent. And we've been doing recycling, and now we're shifting over to organics for 1383. And we also have to add the three-cart system to it. It's existed through single-family homes and many businesses, larger businesses, but now SB 1383 is going to require it to multifamilies and all businesses, even small shops or places that don't serve food, but they have a cafeteria or people eat food, or the employees eat food on the premises and have discarded food leftovers that need to go in the green bin. So right now we've got about 5,000 in our database, and we're seeing about 65% of them are officially not compliant, but that's because we don't know and we haven't investigated. So there's going to be a lot of educational effort going out and verifying that these places have the three bin service and that they're knowing how to put their food waste in and what is restricted in the recycling as well. We're also going to be doing and that has to be basically door to door. The same thing with the edible food recovery. We've got hundreds of businesses that are now going to be required to capture their edible food and make sure it goes to human consumption. And they've got to have, make sure their food doesn't spoil, have a contract to deliver it to the food bank, and we've got to help them do this and understand it and help their employees comply with it. We're also meeting with procurement folks and educating them in each jurisdiction what they have to meet as far as the target goes. So Kelly has already divided up by population each jurisdiction and sent this to them. And it has to do with all of your paper products. They have to be 30% recycled content. You have to document that. But also we have to buy the product or the results of your organic and food waste becoming compost or electricity or fuel or whatever. And so one of the things that we think is universal is everybody's food and compost, food and green waste is becoming compost, North County and South County. So we're recommending that the haulers set up a system where they take back some of that compost and bring it back to each jurisdiction. We have a local place where it can be stored, and then each jurisdiction can have a Saturday event a couple of times a year where the citizens can come get that material for free. And so it's a great way to put the soil back into the create the soil amendment from the food that we ate. And it would be efficient because it's a huge amount in a countywide system, or each jurisdiction's system, And we have numerous webinars coming up education-wise with all of the jurisdictions. The biggest one is going to be the franchise negotiations. Remember, we have a term sheet out that kind of unifies all the all the franchises in a similar system. That's the best practices that we've talked about, and it aligns with 1383. So we're meeting with the haulers as a group, and then we want to meet with all the jurisdictions as a group. And once we get agreement from those two parties, we'll bring them all together and have one big meeting. And the idea here, again, is efficiency. If we do this individually, it will blow the timeline and the budget, and we would not make the January 2022 deadline. So that's the first push, but then you can see down that list, we have a lot of things coming with all the jurisdictions. Also, our name is out there on pretty much everything as far as what's recyclable, what's food scraps, what goes in your garbage bin. And when you Google recycling or organics or HHW in Slo County, IWMA will be the first hit on the Google app. But otherwise, nobody knows what IWMA is. And we would really like to have a name that acknowledges our location and our purpose. And so what we're looking at right now is a doing business as, so we don't officially have to change our name, but we would just use something like Slo Waste, which would describe our function, purpose, and location all in one. And I just kind of threw up these little fonts on there, but obviously we could get a really nice graphic. So the S-L-O and the W would work with Slo, as in S-L-O-W, and the waste. So it'd be slowing waste. But that's not finalized yet. We're just talking about it, but probably in May, we'll ask you to review that and approve that. But that's our best name so far. And with that, I'll turn it over to Rob Hilton. And right after Rob, I'll review the budget.
Good afternoon, board. Good to be with you again. Brooks asked me to give you a little bit of an update on where we are with the strategic plan and the SB 1383 implementation project we're doing with you. So let me start with the strategic plan. I want to piggyback off of a comment that Brooks just made. One of the final remaining pieces of getting the strategic plan precise and resolved surrounds the budget and surrounds this issue of the increased funding that you'll need. And so we're in the process of trying to calculate what the increase in the IWMA fee would need to be. And in order to do that, we need to understand the gross revenues in each of the franchise areas. This is information that your franchise agreements generally require the franchisees to submit to you as the franchising agency. So as Brooks said, we're going to be reaching out probably both to the haulers and to the jurisdictions to get more precise information on that. It's really critical that we do that because as we increase the IWMA fee, we're increasing the costs to the ratepayers in the community. And we want to make sure that we're not doing that by any overshoot amount. We need to make sure we're doing it by the amount. And so getting precise data to calculate the fee amount is really critical. So any help you all can provide in that, we would really appreciate. The other thing that we're looking at in the strategic plan, and it dovetails into the implementation, is the timing of the staff hiring. And in the previous presentations I've given you, I suggested that you bring on a program coordinator and an analyst sometime around mid-year. And the idea was to have Kelly's position get aboard and up to speed enough to understand the scope of that role and then be able to position her to manage that. She's come aboard quicker than we thought. She's come up the learning curve quicker than we thought. And so we do understand sort of the scope and the gravity of this now. And as Brooks just presented, there are about 3,500 non-compliant or questionably compliant entities around the county that need to be interacted with. And there's a massive amount of data that's come in that needs to be worked with to understand generator compliance, edible food recovery compliance, all the current numbers. So we're recommending moving those hires up. In fact, I think Brooks will be talking about that today so that you get them on board as quickly as you can at this point. The other piece that we wanted to talk about is in the implementation. And as Brooks said, we've got a term sheet out there that we've met with both the haulers and the member agency task force about. And we're looking forward to moving forward into the negotiation of those terms. And we want to do that as a group in order to make the programs and the education and the way that the system functions logistically as consistent as possible. So we're proposing to use a process that's nearly identical to what's going on just north of you in Monterey County, where three different haulers that serve the Monterey Peninsula side have gotten together with all of the member agencies and where the haulers and the cities are working all together to create a unified system. And then once they get the program specifications and the logistics and things worked out, then they'll work each member agency with their service provider to negotiate the rates and any final terms that need to be incorporated to deal with one-off issues for each agency. So that process has been hugely productive and they're way ahead of schedule because they did it that way. So we're really hoping that the haulers here and the cities here will participate in that process. It's how we structure the budget and the schedule. And it really is critical to make sure that everything stays on schedule, on budget, and consistent across the county. So that's my update, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Bruce Gibson.
Bruce, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Just asking Rob and Brooks, so where are we? I mean, Monterey has been moving ahead with this. Where exactly are we? Have we reached out to the haulers? Have we proposed a particular structure? And do we have the rate information that Brooks mentioned earlier that we need to get our financial side of that within IWMA understood better?
Great question. So we have reached out to the haulers. We've had two meetings with them now. One of them was to present a term sheet on the franchise, one was to present a term sheet on the ordinances that will be coming. And we've sent out a doodle poll to them to try and get them organized into a meeting together. We have not gotten responses from some of the haulers, and I know staff is reaching out to them to get their response to the doodle poll so we can organize that meeting. Separately, we've also met with the cities. We have not gotten the hauler data, and those requests will be going out if they haven't already very shortly.
And so, what's the overall time frame for getting that the hauler data and getting this meeting organized and getting this process underway?
So the hope is that we would have the meetings with the haulers and the cities to negotiate through the common terms during the remainder of April and the first half of May, maybe leading into the end of May if it needs to, and then allow the jurisdictions and the haulers to sort of finalize things in June, and hopefully you'd have those amendments in front of your city councils in late June or in July.
So we can expect an update at the May meeting. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions for Rob?
Yes, please. Karen Bright here.
Karen, please go ahead.
Thank you. So Rob, then I don't need to contact my city manager, do I? You have already done that, or someone from IWMA has?
We've talked with each city. It would certainly be helpful if board members could encourage their city staff to help us with this process and to be participative. We were surprised at a relatively low turnout at the local task force meeting this week. And it's really critical that as we get into these negotiations, that everybody's there, everybody's interests are represented. And to the extent that, you know, senior management from your city or county need to be there, that that the right folks are present.
Okay, so then you do you want me to have them contact you or just tell them to be on board and be ready to?
Yeah, just encourage them to be on board and paying attention and engaged in this process to make sure that that your community's interests are represented.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, anyone else?
I just have one question for Brooks, please, Robert. Brooks, if you are having specific difficulties with individual cities, you'd let us know, aside from certainly the board meeting, that you can reach out to us to help facilitate that if you're having problems.
Yes, thank you. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Well, I can say what we want to avoid is the revenue audit that we did last year took an additional 6 months because of delays and non-disclosure agreements and those kind of things. And we just want to avoid that because we can't do that this time. We won't make the deadline and we'll spend too much money.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyone else questions for Rob?
Yes, Robert, can you hear me? It's Debbie. Yes.
Hi, Debbie,
you please can. Go ahead. Okay, I had a little hiccup with my stuff too, so I wasn't even sure you could hear me or see me, but Brooks, I might've missed this. The meeting ended for me for just a second, but when you mentioned the short amendment to the JPA regarding SB 1383, what can you just the 2 second version? Just what does it have to do with?
Yeah, they're basically, as I understand it, CalRecycle is saying that the language in our JPA is not specific enough to include 1383. We're allowed to perform other functions and other mandates, but it doesn't specifically line item out 1383, and we need to add that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Debbie. Anyone else? If not,
Jan Marks, it's just a suggestion that perhaps the consultant could give us an anticipated timeline. If it hasn't been handed out already, I looked for one. I didn't find it. But in terms of implementation, what our goals are, so that we have a sense of the process and sort of where we're at from month to month.
We've got that schedule detailed out in the strategic plan, and we've been working with staff on that. But we'll get a summary version of it for this next board meeting when we do this update next month.
Thank you very much. It always helps to know what the heck is going on. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jan. Anyone else? Thank you, Rob. And then I guess we'll turn this back to you, Brooks.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Rob. Okay, and I'd like to give everybody just a budget preview. Again, we want to bring back the final budget in June, but we want to give you several opportunities to kind of review the issues so that we're not late getting it done. But we also want to, as Rob mentioned, we need to try to dial this in because it is going to impact people, and especially with COVID and the recession, we don't want to overshoot here if at all possible. So just to give you the background, we are currently operating, the 2021 budget is operating under the 1920 budget. And the reason we did that is because last March, when we were putting this together, we realized we were still in the middle of our strategic plan and not knowing the outcome of the agency. COVID hit, and we didn't know that what that was going to do to the economy and our revenue. And SB 1383 language was not finalized until November, so we didn't know what to include there or not. So we figured the best thing to do would just be reapprove the 1920 budget and carry it forward. And that would allow us to make changes as it went, rather than trying to go through the effort of putting in a new budget. We also knew in 1920 that the expenses would be different. So we had $2.9 million and $400,000 of that was capital. And we anticipated having a full-time accountant. We would be fully staffed through the entire year, and we would have significant legal expenses as compared to normal years because the district attorney's investigation was still going on. We had the Knudsen lawsuit, and we were trying to review all of IWMA's documents and our contracts, and we went out to bid for several things. And again, just lots more legal review on issues. And then we knew 1383 implementation was going to be expensive, and we already added the program manager software. We're recommending these two additional staff today. We've hired the consultant and additional legal expenses. And then we also knew that we had some savings and reserves, and those would be needed to bridge the gap until we could do a rate increase and once we knew how much that would be. So that's the background, and that's why specific things have not been covered because we didn't anticipate trying to cover everything. We just duplicated last year's budget. And so just let me give you a snapshot of, I think, where we're headed. And again, I'm not asking you to approve anything today. I just want you to give me your feedback or comments of the way you see us headed. So we're anticipating starting with almost $1 million in savings. And then we would also have $1.5 million between our HHW and our $500,000 emergency fund. So we'll start the year with $2.5 million, which includes those monies we really would not like to touch or touch very minimally. And then we project to make $2.7 million in income. And that would include at least half of the year or a portion of the year with a fee increase, but not the full year. So we would recommend that sometime between September and January, the rate increase would take effect. So we would have a total of $5.1 million available for this coming budget. And then our operating expenses, this is the current status quo of all the 40-some programs that we currently run. And then the SB 1383 implementation costs, which includes about $900,000 of recurring and $400,000 of one-time, and I'll cover that in a minute. And then we have about $288,000 of capital expenses, one of the biggest one being a potentially a new HHW facility in San Miguel. And so I'll cover that. So our total expense would be 4.2. So we would have $900,000 left over. So that all sounds good. But the problem is that we will have to dip into both of the savings accounts. In other words, our restricted fund and our emergency fund. So, and I'll cover that in just a second. So our revenue comes from two fees. We get a $3 a ton fee from the landfill for every ton of garbage that goes into the landfill. So that equates to about $1 million a year. And one of the things we will also recommend here is that it's been a percentage since its inception back in 1994, or excuse me, it's not been a percentage, it's been a flat $3 a ton fee since 1994. So from 1994 to 2019, the population has increased 27%. And so as the population has increased, obviously our expense of providing HHW service and the amount of people who frequent it, the cost of disposing of that material, the cost of the education programs, the cost of the take back programs, everything we do has gone up. And if you have a percentage fee, it is indexed and continues to rise with inflation or these costs, and a flat dollar amount does not. So we're going to recommend that we proceed with converting this $3 a ton to a percentage, but not really increasing it. So it would stay the same. And the reason we're not recommending increasing the disposal fee to cover these recycling and organics fees is because it's the law of diminishing returns. So if we divert 10% of the waste away from the landfill, then we're going to get 10% less revenue from the landfill for this $3 a ton fee, which means we won't have money to pay for the program and it's not charged accurately to the people generating the material. So we're really focusing on this 2%. And the 2% is fairly easy to calculate on the commercial side. It's just whatever the commercial collection and hauling costs are. So if the hauler charges $100 a month, they'll bill $102 and send us the $2. But the residential fee was divided into two components. Those accounts that are spending, or their monthly bill is less than $50 a month, are paying again a flat fee of 30 cents a month or 360 a year, which again is not indexed, so it never goes up. And then the households that are paying more than $50 a month, which would be the people who maybe have a larger garbage can or two waste cans, are paying a 2% fee, which amounts to $600 a year, so it amounts to $12 a year. And this is the information we need to be able to determine the rate increase. If we make this go from 2% to 4% or 3%, we need to know how many people are on the 30 cents a month versus the 2% plan. So the hauling fees in total generate about $1 million a year as well. And so what we're recommending is everybody would convert to the percentage, and we would do away with this flat fee. And then the ballpark right now is we get about $1 million. We need $2 million. So we'll have to go from 2% to 4%. But again, we'll dial this in for you hopefully by May. Then we have restricted reserves of $1.5 million. And this is $1 million in our HHW closure fund and $500,000 in the emergency fund. The emergency fund is something we set up internally. Say, for example, if we had a spill or there was a fire or an accident and somebody ran through the fence and hit our lockers at one of the HHW sites, and we needed to come in and do an emergency cleanup or some kind of repairs there quickly. So we can use those funds at our leisure. But the HHW fund, we're still not certain if we could borrow from that and pay it back. So we reached out to the Department of Toxic Substances, and we haven't heard back yet. But if they say no, then we were likely to have to speed up our timeline for the fee increase. Instead of doing it in January, we may have to do it in the fall. But hopefully by May, we'll let you know that. And then we're also going to recommend that we have a little bit of savings, that every year we put some money away, because since we have to establish these fees, and that's a big deal, and it's a huge impact to citizens and customers, we'd really like to just have a little bit of savings all the time so we don't have to react quickly and implement rates without fair warning. Anybody have a question about fees? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just wondered if with our residential fees, are there programs that we have for people who, say, are receiving cash aid or food stamps, or is there any kind of policy like that in place, or is it just the same based on the amount of the bill?
Yeah, our fee structure doesn't accommodate for anything. Everybody is the same across the board. I don't know what the individual jurisdictions do.
Mr. Chair, John Hammond Brooks, question?
Yes,
sir.
Please, John.
Yeah. Looks like, and I kind of quickly ran it. It looks like with this scenario, Brooks, it's about a 26% reserve fund. We're 5.6 million dollar usually on a annual budget, with 1.5 in the bank, so to speak. Is that, I think that's lower than what we've had before. Is that what we're planning? Basically, is 26%.
We haven't settled on an exact percent, but we were going to kind of work through the executive committee first and see what they would recommend. But the $1 million is not accessible, so I'm going to say that's kind of off the table because that's a mandate. Okay. We're going to find out for sure if that's the case, but that's what we think right now. And then we'll have $500,000 in that emergency fund, and then we'll have to see, do you want, you know, more than that? Or
yeah, I would certainly agree that we should start buffering our reserves too, so that it doesn't impact the public as much. You know, slight increases every year, you know, putting some money back is really important, I think, to plan for that. So that's what I would think. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anyone else? Okay, Brooks, go ahead.
Okay. So again, we discussed this, I believe, when we gave you the initial news back in February and March, that we were intending to keep our existing programs the way they were. So that's roughly about $2 million. It's slightly more than that. But we're spending about $300,000 on the one-on-one business education, helping them understand how to comply with the recycling and solid waste mandates. And then we spend about $200,000 on the school education program with kids. and about $100,000 to general public and adult groups. The HHW disposal sites, five of them currently, is about $900,000 a year. And again, we're recommending that we add one in San Miguel. The retail take-back programs at many of the larger commercial businesses is about $100,000 a year. E-waste that's at the landfills is $65,000. Used oil pickup curbside is $100,000. And again, $1.5 million in emergency and reserve. And so the non-recurring one-time expenses that would be in the budget would be the $400,000 implementation. And again, the bulk of that, $330,000, is for HF&H to help with the franchise agreements and the seven new ordinances. And then we know we will have some building or office improvement expense, or that's what we anticipate. And then the San Miguel site I'll cover in just a second here. Excuse me. And then we know recurring expenses. This was real close to what Rob's initial estimate was. I think he was at 950 or 960. We're trying to be conservative here and budget for what we don't know, but it looks like it's be about 970 or just under a million. We also would recommend that we have a $25,000 a year budget for capital improvements to the HHW sites. There's always a fencing issue or a sign issue or broken concrete or something, or the lockers need a new fire suppression redo or something. And then also, we're quite certain that the county is going to request some amount of money. I'm going to guess it's $100,000 for the Blue Bag program. And I think we heard about this late last year, that it's a countywide effort to address the litter from homeless encampments. And so they're going to request this money. I haven't formally gotten it yet, so I'm just saying it's an estimate at this point. So these are all things that we will give you to consider in May, and I've asked them to give me that request before May. So let me go into the San Miguel site. So this picture on the left is San Miguel Google image, and the community service district there operates several functions, one of which is a wastewater treatment plant. And so if you zoom in here to the right, they've offered a space here where we could use their existing site and put in the facility. And so essentially what we would need is, and this is Morro Bay's site, we would need these lockers with the concrete pad, these some storage tanks and lighting, and then the lockers have fire suppression systems. We need a forklift. And the beauty of this partnership with San Miguel is that they have staff that could run it for us. So we would not have to pay Stericycle to actually operate it. We just pay them to come in once a week or once a month and just empty the lockers and dispose of the material. So it'd actually be a cost efficient way to do it. And San Miguel is one of those areas that they have to drive about 20 miles to get over to Paso Robles. That's the next nearest site. So this would be a great addition to North County and the access to HHW program. And again, it'd be about $250,000. So let me talk about 1383 implementation costs. So on the right here, these are what we've gleaned through, and we do have a 15% contingency in this budget, which brings us to just shy of $1 million, which is kind of where we've thought we'd be all along, but at least there's a little bit of contingency. And if this is not needed and we budget for it, I think all the board members would be happy to see $125,000 going into a savings account of some type. But again, we anticipate to spend $400,000 in implementation, $969,000 recurring. The bulk of that is going to be the three new staff positions, if approved, and the one reclass, and these four new mandated programs and functions. Again, we anticipate a mid-year increase or maybe a little sooner, depending on if we can borrow from that $1 million HHW fund. Since it's a mid-year increase, we will only get a portion of the money this year, but it's looking like going from 2% to 4%. And it'll be $1 million a year recurring after that. So the summary is one-time implementation costs are about $400,000 through the remainder of this year, recurring of about $1 million. We know we'll expend our surplus and some of the reserves, so that will lead to a rate increase sometime between September and January. And then it will take us a few years to build back our savings and our reserves, unless some things go our way as far as the implementation costs or the long-term costs. But at this point, we're being fairly conservative and anticipate every expense. So that's it on the budget. So please, any more questions or any advice, we can take bringing this back to you in May and June for approval.
Okay, questions for Brooks?
Chair?
Yes, please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and then two different things. Let's see, hang on. I would like, Brooks, if we could really review the education piece a little bit further.
Okay. You want that now or in at May?
May, please.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right, seeing no further questions, then thank you, Brooks. I would comment that the executive committee looked at the presentation that Brooks just did. He was going to make an edited version for the board, and we suggested he follow through and give us this entire report. So I hope that was something that helps everyone. Good job, Brooks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we'll go where we can go to our consent agenda. And I will open the consent agenda for public comments for any items on the consent agenda. And Patty, I guess I refer to you.
Yes, and at this time, if a member of the public is interested in making a public comment, please select the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. At this point in time, I'm not seeing any members of the public who would like to comment.
Okay, thank you, Patty. With that, we'll go open the consent agenda to the board. Anyone wishing to have either item 6 or 7 pulled for a separate discussion can indicate so at this time. Hearing none, the motion would be in order for approval of the consent calendar.
Chair Hammond would approve items 6 and 7 on the consent agenda.
Thank you, John.
And Robert, I wanted to point out an error that needs to be corrected, I think, unless I'm reading all this wrong, but on page 14 of our staff report, when we go to the minutes and we look at item number 10, this is page 14 of our staff report, it talks about item number 10 being the introduction of ordinance 2021-3-1. When you go to the next paragraph, the staff recommendation calls it ordinance 2023-1. The motion is recorded as ordinance number 2023-1. And I think those need to be corrected unless I am misunderstanding something.
Brooks, can you respond to that?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay. You take a moment here.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes the paper version's different than the electronic version.
Oh gosh, did I attach the wrong thing?
Debbie, you're muted again.
Thank you. The Wednesday, March 10th minutes, and you go through until you get to item number 10. And the headliner is introduction of ordinance number 2021. I just thought it's an important part of our minutes, and I believe it's written incorrectly in two places, including the motion. Unless there's some other explanation that I don't know about, which is always a possibility.
I think the ordinance was written in 2019, and then we had to make an ordinance repealing that ordinance, and that was the 2021. And I'd ask Jeff Menry to comment, if you're here, Jeff.
I am here. Thank you, President Enns. I'm looking at it as well. I think we all know essentially what happened. I would also like to make sure the minutes are correct, as Supervisor Arnold is requesting. So I'm looking at it as well.
Okay. As long as it needs correcting and you're confirming that, I just wanted to check, and I'd be happy to second John Hammond's motion to approve the consent agenda with those corrections that we just mentioned.
Okay, I'll go back to John Hammond's to include the motion of the corrections.
The first motion is corrected as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then Debbie's the second. Any other board member comments? Seeing none, Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Thank you, Mr. Hammond. Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legge? Patty, is she unmuted? Okay, going on to Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Motion passes with one absent vote and 12 yeses.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. With that, we'll go to the next item, and I'll make public comment will be received on each item individually. And we'll take item number 8. And I'll ask, what I'm going to do here is ask Brooks to give us a brief intro. And then I'm going to ask our executive committee to provide some comment. I know that our executive committee meeting lasted 2.5 hours, and 2 hours of it was discussing our polystyrene ordinance, and I think it's significant. And so we'd like to have a little report from the executive board individuals so that we can go forward from there. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Brooks.
Just want to give a quick background on the JPA and why it formed. It was in 1994, and it was due to the passage of AB 939, which is a 25 and then 50% diversion mandate, similar to what we're going through now with 1383 on organics. And so we met this as a group, and we did it successfully by working together and without interfering with individual agencies' exercise of power within their own jurisdictions. So we have a really good history of working together, and I want to push for us to continue to do that. These are the current 40-some programs that we plan for, report on, or manage. And again, they're working very well. There's been no issues with them. And I just want to point out that if we were to separate or not move forward, the current cost of those programs is about $2.5 million. And I would estimate that it'll be a 50% increase across the board if we have to do that individually. Similarly, with 1383, we're estimating it'll cost about $1 million a year, but if we split, it would be about $1.5 million. So it'd be an additional $500,000 a year cost. And with these uncertain economic times, with COVID still going on, we really think we need to try to keep costs low for our businesses and residents. And then I also want to point out that the legislation on plastics is continuing to grow momentum. I've showed you that slide in the past that California has passed over 500 solid waste regulations in the last 30 years. That averages out to 15 every year. So it will be legislated at some point on polystyrene. And the big one is the very one, top one, the ballot initiative. It's sponsored by Recology. They spent millions of dollars on it. And the idea here is to, on almost all of these bills that I've got listed, is that the material content, in other words, plastic, be made of recycled material or contain that same material. And polystyrene is not a material that lends itself for that. So in effect, even though it doesn't specifically spell out polystyrene would be banned, although the first ballot initiative does, these are all going to have a similar effect on polystyrene in that it would be phased out statewide, which would have a much better, bigger impact than what we could do locally. So I think it's coming one way or another. The ballot initiative may be moved up, scheduled for 2022, but because of the recall election for the governor that is very likely to occur, there's a potential for the Secretary of State to add these other ballot measures. That hasn't been decided yet, but it would for sure be on in 2022 and maybe 2021. All the other ones that are listed here, and I highlighted the sections of significance, those are all current as of Tuesday in the docket to be voted on this year. Again, things change and it could or could not happen. But my point is everything is leaning towards plastics are going to be made of recycled content and it will phase out polystyrene in the process. So with that, I would just say, again, we want to encourage the board to work together and come to a compromise and keep the agency together and reduce costs and continue our program of success and this countywide system that has worked so well. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Robert Enns.
Okay, thank you, Brooks. Important information there. And with that, I'm going to ask Keith Scorton to start and give us a little bit of report on the executive committee and your feelings about where we are.
Great. Thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate that. At the executive committee, certainly the subject of the polystyrene ordinance came up and how it was going to be presented today at our meeting. And some concerns came forward and I brought it forward regarding section 8.5 of our JPA, which basically allows any member to make the request to force an 8 vote or a supermajority. This information came to me and I felt it was important to share at the executive board level just because I didn't want something to show up today at a moment's notice without any of us having any knowledge of that wording and that it existed within our JPA agreement. And it really changes the discussion as to how we move forward because this is a very sensitive issue. The last thing I wanted was to create drama and hysteria over this issue at the last moment during this meeting. So it was discussed at our executive board meeting and we were very sensitive to the issue and wanted to make sure that we could come up with some type of way to further our discussion in order to at least facilitate the knowledge of this existing section and still try to have a reasonable discussion moving forward with some hope of coming to some agreement in some way. I think we're all concerned about the health and security of the IWMA and working together to achieve the many objectives that we're responsible for, not just polystyrene. So that was my perspective. And I think that's all I have to add at the moment, Robert. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Keith. And Charles, I'll go to you, sort of a same kind of question, your response to the meeting and your personal input on the ordinance.
Well, I think as Keith noted, it's an important provision of the IWMA JPA. I wish I'd have seen it earlier. I wish we'd had been, you know, considered it 2 years ago and 2 months ago. But it has a very practical impact on our vote, our discussion today. And it's why we wanted to put this item ahead of our consideration of repeal of the polystyrene ordinance. Because I think, you know, it obviously changes the nature because we've had a 7-6 vote. So I think it's very important. I think it reinforces the need for willingness to compromise on all sides. So I think that's what we're hoping to have some discussion about that today, about potential avenues for compromise. before we proceed to vote on the actual repeal, because of the implications of that for our future of the IWMA, our focus. And so I think it's important that we have a discussion with an open mind towards compromise.
Okay, thank you, Charles. And I agree with both Keith and Charles. We're looking for a compromise. Personally, I just didn't like the tone of the ordinance. It seemed punitive in its assessment of who gets put in jail for 6 months and who has to pay a $1,000 a day fine. And I thought at a minimum, from what we're hearing from restaurants, probably one business that was hurt more during this COVID business than anyone else. But at a minimum, I would hope we can not put any pressure on the restaurant business, the food service business, at least until the state can reopen. Another discussion that I had, I haven't shared with Charles, you, or Keith, is that a concept of the IWMA being able to purchase in bulk the preferred alternative to the polystyrene clamshells and coffee cups. But maybe they could, IWMA could buy enough of them to take a break, and we could forward some kind of grant program to restaurants to substitute our paper product, a recyclable product for the polystyrene, and ask them to report their usage so that we could use that to offset what we're sending into the landfill. So with that, what I'd like to do now is open it for board discussion. And what I'd like to do in the board discussion is make sure that we hear from each member so that we have a full understanding of what our membership is looking at. So with that, let me start with Bruce Gibson. Bruce, you've been very clear on your position on this, and I thought maybe you'd like to lead this off.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My position remains. I would point out first that the polystyrene ordinance did pass with a supermajority of 8 votes. So it has been in place with the requisite margin to make it a legitimate ordinance of the IWMA. I reject the arguments that somehow it's overly burdensome on businesses. I reject the arguments that it's somehow inappropriate for this body, which has been delegated specific powers by the member agencies, would legislate on behalf of the entire county. That's our mission. It's been extraordinarily successful. I'm sure some of these arguments might come up again, but I would point out, for instance, on the Board of Supervisors, that supervisors elected in one district vote on things that affect the whole county. So on the one hand, I think it's a significant thing that we have passed the polystyrene ordinance, because this material needs to leave our environment. And on the other hand, I think it's not a big deal to leave it in place. If we take no action today, the ordinance goes into effect, and I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. I think we could direct our staff to prioritize education on it and to deprioritize enforcement of it, since we have so much else to do on AB 1383. Essentially, we would have no enforcement authority, no enforcement action going on well into the end of the year, and we will see what happens at the state. Mr. Enns and I had the chance to do, I thought, a very interesting and productive debate when both of us as Cayucas residents were in front of the Cayucas Citizens Advisory Council last Wednesday. And, one of the things we learned there is that there is not any significant economic impact on businesses. One of the council members did some research on the fly and found out that compliant restaurant materials don't cost but maybe 2.5 cents a piece more than expanded polystyrene. So my preference would be to simply take no action today. That would put the ordinance into effect, direct staff to send some educational materials, and defer any enforcement of this until we see what happens at the state level.
All right, thank you, Bruce. And I'll agree, we enjoyed the conversation with the advisory council. With that, I'll go to Karen Bright, City of Grover Beach. Karen, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, to keep this short, first of all, I would say that first and foremost, public sentiment is obvious and overwhelming regarding this issue. And I must say that I pretty much agree with what Mr. Gibson just had to say. I don't really have much more to add to that. So I am supportive of what Mr. Gibson just suggested, rather than taking up a whole lot more time saying basically the same thing.
All
is that sufficient for you?
Thank you for that, okay. Karen. Appreciate that. Jeff Heller, City of Morro Bay.
I had to do all my clicking to show up on the screen. Thank you, Chair Enns. First, I'd like to thank Brooke Steyer for his presentation to the City Council last night. It's an outstanding, concise PowerPoint presentation, and I urge all the jurisdictions to ask him to do a similar presentation to their jurisdictions. Very informative, very concise, and very impactful. So, Brooks, I thank you for that. Regarding this issue, I support Supervisor Gibson's comments. I've not changed my position. I think the community support is very strong. I like the idea of delaying enforcement to see what happens with the state, but I think the ordinance that we passed over 18 months ago, prior to discussing the strategic plan for this body, should remain in place. I think it's very disingenuous to, after the fact, to go back and repeal ordinances that were approved by the majority. I think it undermines the credibility of this board and simply adds to voter discontent with their elected officials, frankly. So I have not changed my position. I am not particularly happy with the thinly veiled threat to disband IWMA if this ordinance goes into effect, which has been perpetrated not only by members of this board, but the staff as well. So your point has been taken, but I stand by my position. I support Supervisor Gibson's comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. With that, I'll go to Scott Newton of City of Pismo. Scott, please. Scott, I see you up there, but you're muted. Are you with us? Okay, not hearing from Scott at the moment. I'll go to John Hammond.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Starting off, I'll state the position that it hasn't changed. Again, I pulling from our JPA policy, which we all agreed to do, that we would not enact policies that were not state mandated, I think it's huge. And now we're basically doing the opposite. SB 1383 does not even include the polystyrene issue, which is rather odd. Again, I can't understand that, but it doesn't. So individual cities, you know, can have and will, if they want, enact their own ordinances. We do not have to have a mandate from a county level to make this happen. many of the agencies and our members have already put those ordinances into their own cities. So if you will, it's more of a hammer on the agencies members that have not done it on their own, is the way I see it. Again, what I'm seeing and understanding is that the industry is pulling this out over time on their own. We don't really have to put policies in place to make it happen sooner. And again, people do not have to buy or provide services from people who are still using polystyrene. They have their own rights to not do that. And I think putting pressure on manufacturers and restaurants who still use the polystyrene is a good way to make things change faster. So I do not want to have more laws on the books making this happen. It's changing over time. And that's why I think we had the effort to repeal this, even during COVID, when it was so important to be able to have these kind of products to take food home safely and warmly, you might say. I think it was an important tool. And now that COVID is starting to happen to leave, maybe we should rethink it. But on the other hand, I just don't think it's appropriate for this agency to demand that other member agencies who have not done an ordinance on their own to comply. That's the bottom line. Again, all of you who have cities that have put those policies in place already have this done. There's only a few of us up here on North County that are that way, and of course the county. So that's my position. Again, I think, again, it's going to change over time, and it's happening more rapidly than I thought it would, actually. But again, what's huge is the state hasn't mandated it. And so therefore, with our policy that we adopted as members, we should hold to that policy. And I don't want to see us leave. Again, it's one of those things. That's what kind of pushed me from this whole integrated waste management, was that other cities can make other cities comply with things. And that's not fair, not right at all. So again, that's my position, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you, John. Jan Marks, please, City of San Luis Obispo.
Thank you very much. I have to say that I think we should proceed and not delay the vote today. I think that when I asked your staff, Brooks, how many letters of support we got to not repeal the ordinance of 149, including 3 from the CSD in Cambria and Oceano and Los Osos, who complained that they'd never been consulted about the vote by their representative on this board. I want to say that regional boards do serve a very special purpose. We're not the only one. There's the Air Pollution Control District, there's the RAC, there's SLOCOG and SLO-RTA. The 8 years that I was on the Air Pollution Control District and SLOCOG and SLO-RTA, the last one I was elected chair unanimously. We worked together beautifully on all kinds of regional projects that one jurisdiction could not have done for itself. And a good example of that is establishing the Homeless Services Center at 40 Prado. I worked with Supervisor Arnold and Fred Strong and Paso to actually make that real property transaction possible for them to build there. So I think the concept of regional governance is something that is not only embedded in the law of the state of California and our JPA, but it also makes really good sense. As staff illustrated, breaking up the IWMA would cost every jurisdiction and the ratepayers and the taxpayers more. I also was not on the board when that threat was made, but I have to say that it does not strike me as the kind of collaborative and reasonable kind of decision making that I've always experienced from the Board of Supervisors on the regional board. So I'm disappointed that that point of view is coming forward. I also wanted to say that in terms of the restaurants, and well, San Luis Obispo is one jurisdiction that has enacted an ordinance, but it does not, it is not as complete as the one that's before us today. And the restaurants have reported that there's been no significant economic effect on them because of that. The effect, of course, has come from the COVID, right? But not from having to eliminate styrofoam from their containers. Let's see, what else I want to say is that the argument that regional board should not tell jurisdictions what to do is a red herring, really. It's at the heart of regional governance. When I voted in favor of the strategic plan for the next 5 years, that we would stick to a state mandates for the next 5 years, I had no idea that anybody would ever say that we should go back through prior decisions by this commission or this board and use the strategic plan policy for the future 5 years as a way of repealing things retroactively. I never would have voted in favor. It never occurred to me that kind of thing would ever happen. I wanted to point out that today we can eliminate the repeal and allow the ordinance as is to go forward. And then if we wish later, if there are specific items in the ordinance that are causing people grief one way or another, we can always go back and amend the ordinance to make it more completely well suited to our region. But I really don't want to kick this can down the road another month. How long can we do this? I think it's getting to the point where we need to actually make a decision. And my decision is to say no to the repeal. And also, I would like to have the vote on number 9 be a supermajority with where it would take 8 members to repeal the ordinance under section 8.5 of the JPA.
Okay, thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
So the board is aware that Jan has requested in writing that supermajority vote, and that's been reviewed by our attorney, Jeff Minery, and that stands. So we will be looking for the supermajority vote on item 9.
And Mr. Enns, can I point out that Mr. Newton is with us now, if you'd like to go back to him,
good.
Or if you want
to. I would like to go back to Mr. Scott Newton, please.
Thank you, Mr. Enns. I really have a whole lot more to add. I think Mr. Hammond stated it pretty well. But to me, this isn't about polystyrene at all. To me, this vote is about, do we want to have an IWMA? And I'm not willing to risk breaking this group up and watching SB 1383 become a debacle for a lot of our cities and municipalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. And with that, I'll go to Dawn Ortiz Blake. Dawn, are you still with us on the phone?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, great. Wow. Yeah. Sorry about that. I apologize for being on the road today. Well, I would like to say that I, you know, from the beginning, we've tried to work a way through this. But at this point, you know, this is what the citizens have loudly and clearly told us. And we are servants to our citizenship. We're servants to those who we represent. You know, I think that what Councilmember Marks had said is pretty much what I have to say. With all the publicity this has had over the past few months, we've yet to hear or receive any comments from any one restaurant owner. And so I find that it's time to move forward. And I also, you know, with in consideration of COVID, if there is financial, I mean, we could, you know, wait till all restaurants are open. So that would be one thing. You know, should the state make moves to actually do something on a similar basis, we'll be ahead of the game. We'll be ready for it when it comes then. Should we be able to salvage the IWMA and move forward here on a reasonable approach? We could use the money that we would have instead have to be spending supposedly on a non-IWMA situation and help some of the restaurants that could come forward if they were struggling with increased costs because of the removal of styrofoam or, you know, polystyrene. That could be an option. But I really echo the comments of Councilwoman Marks. And that's where I'm at today. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, John. With that, I'm going to go to John Pouchon.
Yeah. So the question before us right now is actually number 8, which is to consider the continuance of the public hearing and continue it. I do not support that. I think which should get to the vote on number 9, and so be it. I support the position that you've heard from the North County folks here today. I do believe that we as a group decided to only do state mandates. This is not a state mandate. And also to correct the record, I will tell you that I met with and had a good discussion with somebody who is a small business person who has a store / deli in the North County here, and it will cost them, they believe, $25,000 more a year to go from the polystyrene to the other available options. And so 25 grand may not seem like a lot to the folks down south, but to me and to the people up here in the North County, and don't forget, we have the California has the highest poverty level in America. And we're adding things on, and we're costing businesses and small businesses more every single day. And it comes out of Sacramento, and it comes out of the local governments, and we just keep adding it on. So I do not support the continuance. If we're going to lose the vote on number 9, we lose the vote. But at least we'll have a public record of where people are, and if they stood with the people of North County, and which I have to do because that's who I represent, and that's who voted me and put me into this position, and I'm going to continue to do that. I think that this is wrong. I think the polystyrene ban is wrong. And also, if you look at the letters that came in, the 149, I saw one from North County. And so I saw a lot from the city of San Luis Obispo and a lot from Los Osos. I get that. They want the polystyrene ban. The cities are free to go ahead and put a ban in. And most of them have done that. That's the situation. What you're trying to do here is tell the North County what they need to do and what they have to do. And if they don't do it, they go to jail for 6 months and it's $1,000 fine. I find that wrong, and I'm going to stand with the people in my district. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. With that, I'll go to Lynn Compton, please.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll make mine pretty short, too. I have not changed my vote on this. You want to talk about the public sentiment? You know, we could talk about that, what happened with the rail spur in my district. And you can receive 10,000 form letters. To me, that's not public sentiment. And in this case, letters were passed to me that were generated by one individual in San Luis Obispo, and then it went to the Sierra Club, and then it went to past elected officials, and that's how the letters were generated. And not saying the letters didn't come in, but they were form letters generated by one or two people. That's not public sentiment to me. If I wanted to tell 500 people to call in or something, I could submit to 500 email lists and get that too. That's, to me, that's not public sentiment. I have talked to small businesses, they're opposed to this. And, you know, to me, there is a compromise, and we have compromised. We have said, if you want to do it in the cities, fine, do it in the cities. But we represent, as the Board of Supervisors, 50% of the population in the unincorporated area. And I think you're overstepping your bounds when you're happy with how you have it in your city, but then you want to, whatever the ordinance is, polystyrene or anything, then have it apply to the unincorporated area. I disagree with Mr. Heller when he said it's disingenuous. What I think right now is going on is completely disingenuous. When this first came before the board, we signaled the huge concern that certain members of this board had with the $1,000 a day fine, with the 6 months in jail, and we were basically brushed off and told, oh, that never happens. That never happens. You know, nobody ever goes after it. We could have made amends then and taken those out and possibly moved forward. At the last minute, at the last meeting, I don't remember which, I think it might have been Mr. Heller said, oh, I read it last night. And now, yeah, now I feel that that's cumbersome and I want to take that out. So I don't think, I think this whole thing has been played out very disingenuous. I think the supermajority vote on this or anything else is a big red flag to me that this is what we're going to continue to see. Never once has anybody ever used this supermajority threat before, but they want to use it today, and that's fine. It sounds like Jeff has told us that it's legitimate to use, but that's what we're going to see coming down the line with this organization. And I disagree with Jan on regional boards and the governance, because the bigger your regional board grows, whether it's a three-county area or the coast of California or the central part of the state, whatever it is, that dilutes the individual votes of those elected officials. So the bigger your regional web encompasses, that's detrimental to, I believe, the people that voted you in office. So I would be happy staying together as a board, but I think to say, well, we're gonna, you know, not do it on this and do it on this is just, I see what's coming down the road with this. And I think the hammer is not that the county is placing a hammer on, you know, whatever threat or whatever you want to call it. I think it's the cities that are placing the hammer on the county, that you guys are doing it, whatever the ordinance is in your city, but you're not happy enough with that. You want to force the unincorporated area to do that. And so to me, there's a compromise that this IWMA has right now. If you want to participate and jump on the bandwagon with something that's beyond a state mandate, you had the ability to do that. But we voted to stay with state mandates, and California has the strictest mandates of any state in this union. And this polystyrene is not even right now on the horizon in any document that I can find. If it's coming down the road, fine. I would be the first one to jump on, say it's a state mandate. But I haven't changed my opinion, so I'll just let you move on to somebody else.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. And with that, we'll go to Debbie Arnold, please.
Robert?
Yes.
Well, I can echo some of the other things I've just heard, so I won't go into everything. But I do just want to say, to me, this is styrofoam today, but who knows? Who knows what tomorrow holds? The spirit of the JPA when it was first enacted was to help pull the resources together amongst the cities and the county and special districts to help comply as a county with state mandates. And we've moved away from that. This isn't the first time. But again, I've said it so many times, I really won't repeat it at length, but I certainly believe that people that were elected to a special district or to a city council, and now they're insisting that we use this body to legislate over areas outside of their jurisdiction is just not a good thing. The public really likes local control, and they like to know that if there are policies going into place that they can directly vote or not vote for those folks that are responsible for going a different direction than they hope to see. And what we're doing here is making an end run around all of that and using this this IWMA to legislate. I just think it's really wrong. Just to respond to what some of the speakers said, you know, we have all these letters supporting this ordinance and so forth, and we haven't really heard a lot. This has been coming for a long time. We had the one, most of you remember the one day that the restaurant association representative came in and told us there are not very many people out there that are in the restaurant business, especially the small businesses, that can leave what they're doing and come and speak or get involved in this. And so she said, I'm trying my best to represent. And she had a couple of speakers, but I think that kind of said it all to me. Most people, Brooke said it earlier on a different issue, don't even know that the IWMA exists. I do know that in the North County, the wine industry is a big deal, and we have heard from them over the many months we've been debating this issue. Are the ordinance that you all voted for, or those of you that voted for it, specifically says vendor suppliers or events event promoters would be prohibited from ship using the polystyrene in shipping boxes, or using packing peanuts or packaging materials. We've heard from the wine industry that's very disruptive to their industry until there's something else. And I just find it interesting that we, in the meantime, have all those packaging materials coming into our county from other places, delivering goods to our citizens here. But it does matter, and it does matter to the businesses right now. And I think it was John Hammond that said people can choose not to engage, and that education, that might be the way to go there. But these kind of punitive ordinances that are coming from the public's viewpoint almost out of nowhere, because they really don't tune into this body. So again, I would think that this IWMA could go on and do the good work that we do and continue if we could all respect the fact that when it comes to legislation and legislating ordinances, that needs to be left to the jurisdictions, the local jurisdictions, to where people actually have representation. And I feel really strongly about that. So I would hope that today, I don't think we need to continue to postpone it, and we can go ahead and vote. But I won't be coming off of my vote won't change in this regard.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. I think we've heard from everyone at this point. I will point out that Patty Taves did meet with some of the proponents of the ordinance, primarily Janine Rands, Luke Dunn, Evelyn Grant, both of EcoSlow, Cal Poly Zero Waste Club, and Mr. DeMilo, to discuss strategies to decrease the use of polystyrene. They made several suggestions about how we could go about that, ways to reach out to the public. But the bottom line, I think, was that there was more interest in keeping the ordinance in place than there was in looking for an alternative of how to go about getting rid of styrene. So having said that, the issue before us now is whether or not to continue the second reading and to spend some time trying to find a compromise. If we do decide to spend some time trying to find a compromise, what I'd like to do then would be to appoint an ad hoc committee to lead us through the process of looking for a compromise. So with that, I'm really looking for a motion now as to whether or not you want to continue this.
We need public input.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. With that, I'll open it to public comment.
Patty. Mr. Renz,
at this time, if a member of the public is interested in making a public comment, please select the raised hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, press *9. And just a second here, one moment. Okay, Rita, you should be allowed to speak.
Thank you. My name is Rita Casaverde. I am the chair of the Slow County Democratic Party. I'm here mainly just taking note. 2022 is coming, then 2024. But I have been here following the polystyrene ban for years now, probably longer than a few of the new members in the IWMA, listening to hundreds and hundreds of calls, following every reading, seeing people come to public comment before COVID, organizations, groups, kids, teachers, parents. I also know that there's an exception form that no one has mentioned, and that is available in your website if any business is struggling to meet the ban. That said, I find a few things interesting now that I'm hearing you guys discuss it again. Mr. Pichon, I'm, by the way, live in an unincorporated area in North County, and my family are business owners. So the North County supervisors do not represent where I stand at all. I know that Mr. Pichon is waiting for maybe something to come from the state or maybe a ballot initiative. But as we have seen with previous ballot initiatives, he'll probably lend his PR company to support those ballot initiatives and maybe even make a profit. So maybe that's why he's interested. I don't know. It just came to mind. There's also a lot of people asking for to wait on the state. Same people that we hear attacking the state. Examples, my supervisor, Mrs. Arnold. She was attacking the state and the governor actually just on Sunday at the, what was it called, the 7076 Freedom Rally at Paso Robles, the Unifying America Rally. Yeah, she was attacking the state at that rally. So it's interesting to hear her now waiting for state mandates rather than taking action locally. So the gymnastics are being represented in this meeting are very interesting and very disappointing. We have been following this for years, but I'm just here taking note, just seeing how everyone votes. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, Kristen, you should be able to speak now.
Hello, all. My name is Kristen Horowitz. I'm a SLO County business owner that was really hit hard by the pandemic, and I'm also a Los Osos resident. I wanted to note that I'm represented by county supervisors, not a city, so I was pretty hurt, sad to hear that I'm being discounted because I'm in an incorporated county area, and that's Los Osos. And I also really wanted to say that I live in people's self-help housing in the middle of a bunch of multifamily homes, so I really feel like people can discount where we're from. But we're not some elitist fancy community, and I really hope that the supervisors take that into consideration. I've read a lot and researched a lot and listened to you guys. And the thing I'm really getting stuck on is this, like, we're losing our freedom to choose within our jurisdiction. But for me, I looked at the reports, and again, I'm a business person and I like scaling. And it seems like it's a really good free market choice to ban polystyrene because it's expensive in terms of like labor and process. And I didn't follow this up to a certain point, so I can't remember, I don't know what the decision was based on, but looking at the numbers, that was like almost a clear decision. And I feel like you guys are charged with, as you guys began the meeting, you're charged with making sure that you protect us and try to keep our costs down. And that's a good way to do that. And then beyond that, you know, you're talking about trying to help struggling businesses. And I know I wrote to Mr. Gibson at the beginning of this, but never heard a reply back, but I'm looking at huge business taxes, and I've been closed for more than a year, and I'm operating at a loss, and I'm not a restaurant. Restaurants are getting aid, and I know that polystyrene is like negotiable, but you know, all of you guys are representatives of your different jurisdictions. If we're worried about protecting ourselves and protecting the people that are hard hit, then maybe it's not in polystyrene. That's all I'm trying to suggest. And that's what I've got. Thank you so much for your time, and I wanted to support taking no action today. And I also loved Bruce Gibson's idea about not enforcing action. I'm a company that kept with the state order when others did not, and I understand that people can't supervise or can't enforce it. So it's a realistic state. No one's going to put anybody in jail for polystyrene. You know, I understand why they did it, and maybe that is overreach, but I don't think that's a really strong point. So thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. Patty?
Okay. One moment. Detoma, you should be able to speak now.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, my real name's Tim. Neotoma is the Latin name for pack rat. I'm the guy who's actually doing the blue bag program for you for free right now. I'm down in the creek cleaning up all the plastic trash and things that you guys are nitpicking about. Three things. I wrote a letter, several letters to IWMA. I've never used a form letter. I don't need to do that. But, you know, economy of scale, you know, a lot of people buy the same bottle of wine with the same label on it, and they must think it's a decent bottle of wine. I guess they're just mindless fools. Mr. Pashong commenting on $100,000 for the blue bag program and worried about people going to jail, as if Sheriff Parkinson and Dan Dow are going to prosecute anyone. We already know that they refuse to enforce state mandates. Done deal. That's pretty funny. Mrs. Arnold. Well, actually, let's go to Lynn Compton first, because she doesn't want to, you know, be outside her jurisdiction. Resign your position and move to the Nipomo CSD. Then you don't have to worry about this. You won't be a county supervisor. You will have no jurisdiction over me. Sounds pretty good. Let's do it. And Ms. Arnold, yeah, I don't know. You gave a good clinic to a grade school for some of the logical arguments that you attempt to make. At this point, I can't remember because I was crawling through the bushes when you called my name. So if I was to send you a bill, that $25,000, that's such a big deal to all these restaurants. That wouldn't even begin to pay for all the volunteer time that you guys suck up so people can have tax breaks. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Patty,
Chairman N's point of order. This is Jan Marks.
Yes, Jan.
I want to make sure that the public understands what we're voting on right now with item number 8.
I see them talking about item 9, and we're
So if you could you just give people a quick once over about what we're actually voting on right now, I think that would be great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that suggestion, and I'll do that. Right now, for the public certification, we're trying to decide whether to look closer and having working together for a compromise on the polystyrene ordinance. We're not, at this time, discussing the polystyrene ordinance, good or bad. And right now we need to decide whether or not we would like to continue the public hearing on the polystyrene. So if you have comments on that subject, they would be appropriate. Thank you, Jan. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, one moment. We do have several other people who would like to speak. Hang on one moment. Carol, you should be able to speak now.
Yeah, thank you. This is Carol Mincer. I'm the chair of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, and I live in Los Osos. I'm sorry if some of these comments sound like they're addressing number 9, but I want to address some of the comments that were made by members of the IWA Board of Directors. You do have a mandate. You have a state mandate to reduce waste in the waste stream. So you don't need to wait for a state mandate. You have one. Just use it. You don't need to wait to do this. You don't need to listen anymore. You just go ahead and do your job. Let the ban go into effect. If you don't think it's your job, so I live in Los Osos, and I want to know, for Supervisors Pashong, Compton, and Arnold, are you going to then advocate for a polystyrene ban in the county unincorporated areas? Because we want one. And if you think it's okay to have this pollution in North County, tell that to the people in North County, that you think that's okay for this pollution to be in their areas. You don't need to continue this item. You just need to move forward and say no on 8, say no on 9. I'm really offended by the dismissive comments about the people who wrote in, who took the time, even if it was just a few seconds, they took the time and effort to let you know how they feel about this issue. And to just dismiss it, that's really shameful. So that's what I wanted to say now. And I do want to, you know, if you get to number 9 and we have another chance and there's more ridiculous comments, I will take some time again then. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Patty?
Allison, you should be able to speak.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Allison, yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I too am offended. I am not representing any group. I am a constituent. If you need more evidence on what public sentiment is, it was our vote. We voted, and we voted for the ban. It is appalling that any of you in this committee even consider repositioning. pulling back our voices. We spoke loudly. We spoke clearly. It is your job to follow through on what we, the people, spoke. The dangers of plastic are not coming out of nowhere. One of you said that. That has been around for years. We have known about it. And if certain businesses want to ignore science, then perhaps you, as their leaders, should be providing them with information. It is our shared environment. We all live here, and those toxins that go into our air, water, and land do not recognize boundaries. And some of these are in unincorporated areas, and I'm hearing from a lot of those people as well. They're very disheartened. They're very unhappy, and you need to do your job. I will save more time for later, depending on how this goes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Allison. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, Mr. Barry Rands, you should be able to speak.
I'm not hearing Barry Rands.
Sorry.
There you are. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I just want to make two brief comments. One, this thing about going to jail keeps coming up. Yet I just read a couple of your other ordinances about unused paint and bringing your drugs back to a pharmacy that unused drugs. And both of those ordinances have the same boilerplate language about jail time. So why is this one any different? Okay, that's number one. Number two is I really support what my representative at this body, Jan Marks, has said, that this should go to a vote and it should be a supermajority. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Patty, next person.
Mr. Harry Farmer, you should be able to speak now.
All right. Hopefully I can be heard now.
Yes,
my name is Harry. My name is Harry Farmer. I'm currently a member of the Camry Community Services District Board of Directors. I was recently reelected in November of 2020. Our board sent a letter to the board opposing the rescinding of the polystyrene ban. But here I'm speaking as a private citizen and not as a board member. I also want to mention that I wrote a letter on this topic, by the way, that was not a form letter, and to send it to you folks. So I just want to state that I support not rescinding the ban on polystyrene products. The majority of the public is moving in this direction of eliminating harmful, even toxic chemicals such as polystyrene and other plastic products from the packaging that we use most every day. We have an obligation to the youth that will come after us, to the creatures in the natural environment who continue to suffer as a result of the harmful packaging that we find most everywhere. We need to have a more enlightened approach as to how we live on this planet, our only home. I request that you vote against Ordinance 2021-3-1 and allow Ordinance 2019-1 to remain in place. Thank you very much, and have a good day.
All right, thank you, Harry. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, Patricia Wilmore, you should be able to speak.
I think you can hear me now, can you not?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Patricia Wilmore, and I am the Government Affairs Coordinator for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. Our organization as such has not taken a position either on continuing the item or repealing the ordinance. But I did want you to know that we have received letters of concern from members, particularly those who have packing and shipping companies, particularly wineries who are relying on shipping these days to help with their businesses. So, you know, one would almost always wish that there could be a compromise, and I certainly would not want to see this organization disband. So if meeting as an ad hoc committee and bringing forward a possible compromise is feasible, that sounds like a good option to me. And that, I think, is probably sums it up. I think that Supervisor Gibson had a good point. If the ordinance does stay in force and is not repealed, education is going to be very important. I know that our members are looking for alternatives to styrofoam because they do care a lot about the environment, but it will take time to find the right materials and to be able to still use what they have already purchased and have on hand in the way of shipping materials. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Patricia. Patty, anyone else?
Janine, you should be able to speak.
There we go. Thank you for, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for hosting this event so we can, the public can weigh in. I have a couple of comments here from starting with Brooke Stayer's presentation on spending and funding, and noted with glee that you have $600,000 set aside for education and outreach, $200,000 with kids, $300,000 with businesses, and $100,000 with general public. Throw a little polystyrene in there, and I think we're good to go. But I wanted to focus on the California legislation. The second whereas in the MOA, or the recitals, and is from the 1994 edition of the MOA for the IWMA. It says straight up in there that AB 939 and subsequent legislation mandates that an integrated waste management planning process be established in order to achieve the state mandated diversion of landfill materials. I cannot grapple that your board continues to say that we don't have, that this legislation does not follow a state mandate. And so I urge you to, this board, to get together and figure out what the definition of a state mandate is, because it appears that you don't you're not all on the same board. The ballot initiatives that Brooke Stayers is also promoting, and the whatever 25 something pending legislations, I read through all of those documentations. None of them are within 10 years from now. We have a plastic crisis now. I picked up styrofoam every Sunday on my beach walks, and we have got to say no now, not in 10 years. Reference to Pashong's argument about $25,000 for one company. Every business can apply for a hardship clause. Barry referenced to the penalties. It's in all the ordinances. And if you block this one or if you have a problem with that, you've got to address every single ordinance. And finally, 2/3 of our county is rural and unincorporated, not protected with a plastics ordinance. We have got to help them, because 15 of our lakes and 3 of our big reservoirs are in unincorporated area. Please stop the plastics. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Janine. Well timed.
Now I have I have one more person named Eric who I keep trying to promote to talk. Forgive me, Eric, for not letting you talk sooner. But every time I click allow to talk, it's not letting you through. Can you hear us or? Eric, can you hear us? Or
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and yes, there's an issue that was very prominent in the executive committee session that led to this particular item 8 that I want to be sure doesn't get lost. I know Bruce Gibson made a call for delay. I'm hearing from most of the rest of the board that the decision will probably be made today. Either way, the issue of representation of the authorized districts and formalizing that representation through terms and conditions and an election process that uses terms and conditions that all the CSDs have agreed to does need to be followed through with. If there is a delay, the timing of the delay should align with the outcome of that process. It might reaffirm the present occupant. It might place a new occupant for the CSD seat. Whatever it does, we would have a more definitive result at that time. If you go ahead with the item 9 and the vote on item 9 today, then still this issue should not get lost, and the authorized districts should undergo the process that is 20 years late at this time and needs to be undergone so that we don't have another issue of CSDs saying, how did this happen? Why weren't we heard? And so on. The first place for them to be heard is in the selection of their representation. And relative to item 9, I am very much opposed to the rescission for reasons I've already given. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Patty, anyone else come in?
We do. We have another speaker, Risa. You should be able to speak.
Thank you. I'm Risa Kaiser, and my husband, Arlen Bass, and I live both in Arroyo Grande and Paso Robles. We're members of the Peace and Earth Care Committee of the Central Coast Quakers, and we became aware only recently of the move to repeal your polystyrene ordinance. We did extensive research on this. I agree with the League of Women Voters letter sent to you in March. I'm a retired earth science teacher who has visited the South County beaches every week for the past 20 years. I pick up every bit of polystyrene I see on the beach, as I know ingestion of the particles fills stomachs of sea animals, causing starvation. Recently, instead of filling bags with polystyrene, I see few enough bits to put them in my pockets to dispose of. And I credit the ordinance of the South County cities with this reduction. The 2019-1 ordinance you passed, which would cover the entire county, was a good idea. We have many miles of coastline in unincorporated areas. And as Mrs. Compton said, we have half of our residents in unincorporated areas. Your job is to manage waste. I'd like you to keep single-use polystyrene off our beaches and out of our landfills. Please do not repeal your 2019-1 ordinance. Please vote today against your 2021-3-1 ordinance. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Patty, anyone else?
No, Mr. Ant, it looks like that's everyone.
President Ants, this is Jeff. Just to be clear, because we did have kind of a blurring in public comment between item number 8 and the potential pending item number 9, perhaps it's a good idea just to remind the public that what is up for discussion right now is consideration as to whether or not the public hearing would be continued, and then potentially whether or not in harmony with that, if the existing polystyrene ordinance would be postponed if there was such a continuance. So this is not about banning or not banning at this point. That would come next if the public hearing goes forward.
All right, thank you for those comments, Jeff. Just to clarify again, the motion is to consider continuance of the public hearing on the polystyrene ordinance. And I'm asking for a motion from the board or further discussion.
Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, I did want to comment because both Keith Storton and I just kind of commented on what happened last week at the executive committee meeting and didn't really provide our personal thoughts on this. Although I can certainly save some of those when we actually discuss item number 9. For my part, I'm going to get to a motion here. For my part, I do appreciate the passion of the people who wrote letters. I don't discount them in any way because in my review of them, very few of them are form letters. Most are all, you can tell, are individually written. Some are a couple sentences, some are a couple of pages, it seems. But I do appreciate the passion of the folks who've written in and expressed their opinions. I also appreciate that, you know, it is sometimes hard for business owners to be aware of and come to these meetings. And I would not say that I received no input in opposition to the ordinance. That would not be accurate either, because I have spoken to some businesses. Most don't think it's that big of a deal on the restaurant side, but some others do. I think there are other considerations. And we can talk about that more when we get to number 9. What I wanted to do is at least go on the record of making a motion that we do extend the suspension of implementation of the 2019 ordinance, and that we suspend the repeal or just don't act right now on the repeal and suspend the or postpone the public hearing. And I would propose that we create a committee to study some alternatives. I think there is room for compromise here. What I'm hearing is that's not going to succeed, but I really don't want to see this issue lead to a breakup of the IWMA. I really think there is room for compromise and would suggest a committee that includes at least one of the three supervisors that are have expressed their strong feelings about it. And I respect those strong feelings about not having their jurisdiction imposed upon by the other jurisdictions. And I have a great deal of respect for that position. But I would make that motion that we extend the suspension of implementation of the 2019 ordinance, not act on the repeal and so postpone public hearing, and establish a committee of 3 or 4 folks to suggest alternatives.
Hammond would second that motion, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, Bruce Gibson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Gibson.
Per the provisions of our JPA, and because this ordinance seeks to extend the suspension of the ordinance, I'm going to ask we require the 8-vote supermajority on this motion if it is carried forward.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. With that, we have a motion second. Other board members?
Mr. Arnold has a question, President.
Yeah, I'm going to open it for board member comments.
Debbie Robert, Arnold? May I ask my question?
Please
about
see.
The motion? Yes. So it's my understanding that this ordinance was extended once last year on March 23rd for 12 months. So we know that we've passed that by already. And I'm just wondering with Charles's motion, what exactly are we doing here? We're not putting it a date certain like we did before where we're postponing the decision or extending the inaction, I guess you'd say, for a time certain, or what are we doing here?
Well, good question. I'll suggest 6 months.
Okay, if you want to modify your motion, to include 6 months, then I'd ask John Hammonds to agree to a second on that.
Second agrees.
Okay, thank you, John.
Mr. Inns, may I just clarify in my mind at least, and maybe others would have the question. So just to be sure I understand the motion, you all are postponing the start date of existing ordinance 2019-1 for 6 months.
Yes.
So
I'm sorry, Director Barbeau, if you could, maybe I can help. My understanding is that it's to suspend the implementation of the 2019 ordinance for 6 months, to continue the hearing, which is item number nine, on the ordinance, the potential ordinance to repeal, and the formation of an ad hoc committee to look at alternatives. I believe those were the three parts.
Correct.
And I think that pretty much follows the recommendations from staff on page 19 of 49.
Pretty much, yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. Okay, any other comments before we vote?
I have a brief comment.
Dan Marks, please.
Thank you. Yes, I just want to point out that in my district, District 5, I'm a constituent of Supervisor Arnold, and about 20% of the people who live in District 5 also live in the city of San Luis Obispo. And although for some reason some supervisors want to pretend like the people who live and sit in the cities are not their constituents, in fact, when it comes time to vote, we know for sure that people who live in cities also vote for county supervisors, depending on their particular, particular district. So I really have to say that people in the city of San Luis Obispo want to be considered constituents of the supervisor of District 5, and I'm sure that that's true throughout the county. So let's not pretend that city residents have no vote when it comes to the supervisors. And that's just a minor correction that I wanted to make. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, question.
John?
Yeah, maybe to Jeff Minery. In the situations like that, does the city take the city ordinance that already has an ordinance in prohibiting styrofoam, does that overlie those people that are in District 5, as Jan was saying? In other words, do they have to comply with the city's ordinance?
Jeff, are you able to address that?
All right. Thank you, President Anz, Director Hammond. City ordinance would apply to, I don't have the city ordinance in front of me, but it would apply to folks generally within the city. However, the way your JPA is drafted, if the ordinance, say the 2019 ordinance that is currently in place but right now suspended becomes into place, it would supersede any provisions in the polystyrene ordinance of the cities. And so the way the JPA is drafted, whatever is the more aggressive mechanism would apply if that is, in fact, through the IWMA. So the IWMA does supersede what's happening within the member agency jurisdiction.
But then again, the cities are free to enact even something more strict if they wanted to.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, John. Any other board member comments? I would only like...
President, I'm sorry. I just want to make... For the sake of Cheryl, if this does get to a vote, I believe Supervisor Gibson did call for a supermajority vote of 8 affirmative votes.
I understand that. Okay, and I just comment that I really haven't heard anyone say that they like polystyrene, they'd like to keep it in the county. It's their favorite thing. I think we all pretty much agree on the fact that I think the entire board agrees that the polystyrene's on its way out. It's just a matter of time. And I really would like us to go to the delay only in that the penalties that are at the end of this ordinance and that express things that we're not going to enforce. If my feeling is if you're going to have laws that you don't enforce, then you really don't need those laws. And I really, it comes down in my mind to this is not about polystyrene in my mind. It's just about how we do business and really how we do business in this country. So any other board member comments?
Mr. Anz, if I may.
Yes, Pete.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with Charles as far as when we gave our comments early, it was just about our executive board. I wanted to provide my own context and opinion. For the last couple of months, I too have been trying to reach some type of consensus and compromise on this issue, and even had suggested several ideas with really limited discussion by other members of this board who may disagree with my thoughts. But I still do feel that we are in a time of COVID, and my last suggestion was to even delay our existing ordinance in order to respect the businesses that are suffering right now and still get through the seriousness of the COVID issue. And I would still entertain a delay for that one reason, but also to have some legitimate conversations with my peers on this group about potential changes that may be more acceptable. I've heard a couple of comments about the concerns of enforcement or criminal culpability, where, you know, even though it's blanket language that's almost in every ordinance that we can possibly read, I have no problems removing something like that in order to make it more compatible for people who have a concern about that. I do feel like we are a county-wide agency that represents our entire county. And although I'm a councilman for the city of Arroyo Grande, I have a responsibility to the entire county as my representative or my representation on this board. And I do believe in regional consistency and policy and practice. We make a lot of people comply in many different ways through our legislative roles, whether they like it or not. But I think we can come to some type of agreement. And if there's sincerity here for those that are in disagreement, I'd like them to express that now. I don't want to waste staff's time or our time if we're just going to be in the same place in 6 months. The San Luis Obispo ordinance that was presented by Ms. Marks through staff is a good example of a comparison between what we have and what we could be, where it's more streamlines banned materials. It expands on exemptions. It removes the criminal culpability. And I think there is some positives there that allow us to reach an agreement. I do sincerely believe that those of us that voted for the ordinance in 2019 thought it would stay and it would be in place. And then we voted overwhelmingly, except for one person who is no longer on this board, to move forward with state mandates only. So I think there was a genuine thought that ordinance would stay, and I hope there's some deference to that for those that may not agree with the ordinance. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. And any other comments from the board?
President Enns, could I step in here for a second?
Please do.
I'm trying to reach a compromise here, and I think maybe everybody's getting hung up on the fact that this is an ordinance, and IDWMA does a great job of managing a few dozen programs, and could we implement a polystyrene alternatives program countywide? Would that be acceptable versus having enforcement mechanism of ordinance? And that would be also something that could be discussed under this type of committee, that we could develop a very robust program recommending alternatives and provide that outreach and not go through the process of an ordinance that no one wants to enforce. Thank you.
All right, thanks for those comments.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I totally agree with Brooks. I think that's the main issue with IWMA is to educate and get the people to do something different than what they are currently doing. Industry is already changing on their own. It will happen. And I think this ordinance is designed to make it happen faster within our county, which You know, if it was that important, why didn't the state put it into SB 1383? So again, I favor some sort of educational compliance that Brooks is stating. I think that's huge that we can make a program like that and draw a compromise against everybody who wants to see this go forward versus those who don't. So I'd love to see that happen, at least more discussion. And by putting it off 6 months, like Charles has said, that'll give us time to develop something like that.
All right. Thank you, John. And with you, I believe we can find something that will work for everybody. Any other board member comments?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to call the question, please. I have a hard stop at 5 o'clock.
Very, very well.
Thank you.
Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Verbeau?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond? Mr. Hammond, you're muted.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Aye.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Ms. Bright? Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
No.
Mr. Gibson?
No.
Mr. Heller?
No.
Ms. Marks?
No.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
No.
Mr. Pichon?
No.
Mr. Storton? Mr. Storton, you're muted?
Sorry about that. Yes.
And Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Okay, so that is 7-6. So the motion fails.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
I would move that we proceed on to item number 9, please.
Okay, let me get a point of order here. Jeff Minery?
Yes, sir.
Should we entertain another motion on this, or should we move on to item number 9?
It depends if there is another motion that anyone wants to make.
Okay.
Okay.
Then Debbie has made a motion to continue on to item number 9. And we have a second from Scott Newton. And any board member comment? Hearing none, Cheryl, roll call vote.
I'm so sorry you caught me off guard there. I did not hear that motion, Ms. President Enns.
The motion was to move on to item number 9.
Okay, thank you. And can I get the motion maker again? I had Mr. Newton as a second.
Debbie Arnold with the motion maker.
Okay, thank you so much. I apologize. Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Mr. Verbeau? Mr. Verbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Marks. Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously to go to number 9.
Well, I'm so delighted we found something in all this we could agree on. With that, we'll go to item number 9, public hearing to consider the adoption of ordinance number 2021-3-1. And I'll open that initially for board discussion. Hearing none, I'll close the board discussion, go to public comment on item number 9. Patty?
At this time, if a member of the public is interested in making a public comment, please select the raised hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. One moment. Okay, Elizabeth, you should be able to speak.
Thank you very much. I am very delighted to listen to this meeting of the board for my first time. And I've certainly been educated about the situation in Slo County in very many ways. I do want to add quickly one element that has been missing. As you know, I did not send you a form letter. I sent you a book from the perspective of birds. And I want to point out that so far as I've been able to tell this afternoon, I have heard not a single bird in favor of number 2021-3-1 in your ordinance scheme. I was at the beach this morning, once again, almost daily, and I picked up intriguing forms of plastic, many of which I won't describe to you, but most of them polystyrene. Some of them were needle leftovers, et cetera. But I raised this question to you only because we are urgently in need of stopping what we humans are doing to this planet. What we are doing is polluting it to the degree that if we think we are going to make a net profit that's larger, we are kidding ourselves. The degree to which we are polluting this planet with many forms of plastic, including polystyrene and its expanded styrofoam, the degree to which we are doing that, we are doing ourselves in the name of human interests. We are so slowly realizing that we are absolutely operating opposed to human interest. I'm hesitant a bit today talking as I am because I'm a day after my second dose of Pfizer. So my head's a little discombobulated perhaps, but I want to assure you that the safety of the great egret in the book, of the seagulls, the safety of the little warblers, and my friends, the safety of you, elected officials in this county, your well-being depends on finally acting to protect this environment, which we call home. I thank you very much for your patience in listening to me. And I can assure you that I will perhaps decide to listen to one of your meetings again, because as an old ethics prof, I find it really interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Patty, anyone else?
Cynthia, you should be able to speak now.
Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Replogle, a director on the Oceano Community Services District. As was noted earlier, of all the authorized districts who have chosen to weigh in on this issue, all of them have been supportive of the polystyrene ordinance and opposing repeal. So the direction to the authorized district's representative is clear, and he needs to vote against repealing the polystyrene ordinance. He's not free to act as an at-large member and vote in accordance with his own views. So I hope that he will respect the decision of the authorized districts and vote in accordance with their wishes. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Rita, you should be able to speak now.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to remind the board of a few things that were mentioned in the ordinance that some of you are trying to repeal. So the ordinance said that items made from polystyrene, expanded polystyrene, are not biodegradable and in many cases not recyclable. It also said that polystyrene and EPS break into small pieces and because they are lightweight, might be picked up by the wind even when they have been disposed properly. I don't think that has changed since. You also mentioned that polystyrene and EPS are litter. They are highly durable, and both are present in parks and public spaces, streets and roads, waterways and storm drains, and may ultimately float or even blown into the Pacific Ocean. That has also not changed since you passed this ordinance. You also mentioned that takeout food and beverage packaging that is reusable, biodegradable, and recyclable is the most responsible and sustainable choice for San Luis Obispo County's tourist economy. It's their citizens and the environment. When products are reusable or recyclable, natural resources are spared and less energy and resources are used to produce new products. That also has not changed. Lastly, you said that the use of polystyrene and EPS and regulating that use will help maximize the operating life of landfills, which is your mission, and help protect the natural environment from contamination and degradation. So none of those things have changed, and that was the base of the ordinance. So you would have to, I think, prove that any of those premises have changed to really say that we don't need this ordinance anymore. Again, there's an exception form for any business that might be heard from this ban, and they can go to your website, find the form, and apply and get an exception. So just a reminder, I really like the ordinance. I think you did a really great job, and you should not repeal it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Patty?
Janine, you should be able to speak now.
Great, thank you. I just want to reiterate all the comments that came from people representing the birds and the beaches, the cleanup, but the manufacturing that does put pollution into our community. But just the whole thing that of transportation brings into the community from trucks transporting this stuff. I just urge you from all the facts and the scientific reviews all over the internet that we vote no to approve 2021-3-1. It is not responsible for this board to go back and rehash issues that have been proven and factual that were voted in favor of by a majority just 18 months ago. So please vote no to approve or on ordinance 2021-3-1. We have a county to protect. We have the children to protect. This next generation should not have to deal with the crisis of our plastics right now that are being used now and in their generation. Even 2 years from now, if this has changed, we should not have to change it again or go over it. It's costing a lot of money for all of us to do this, as well as the charges that your board is causing from rehashing this issue. Please vote no to approve 2021-3-1. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, Jill, you should be able to speak now.
Hi, this is Jill Zamek. I live in Arroyo Grande. I am opposed to the repeal of the polystyrene ban. I don't think we should wait for California to act when we can be leaders here in San Luis Obispo County. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Patty?
Hello?
Yeah, you should be able to speak now.
Okay, thank you. I'm on bag 4. It's really fun to clean the creek during these meetings. Gives me a nice workout. It keeps me from going crazy. I wanted to finish my comments that I had before item number 8 that I forgot in the hustle. I would like to point out that Supervisor Arnold, in I think maybe one or two sentences, said she was representing the voices of her constituents who don't even know that the IWMA exists. So I just want to lay that out there for everyone when you're, you know, trying to listen to who we're going to listen to for reasonableness here. And then I really appreciate the woman who brought up the birds in the water. I mean, all we talk about is business, business, business. Doesn't matter about people. Doesn't matter about the environment. So let's go back in our history in this country. What was another grand thing that we argued about over that was going to destroy American businesses? Slavery. I'll end it there.
All right. Thank you. Patty, anyone else?
Yes. Allison, you should be able to speak now.
Yes. Hi. This is Allison Dahlman again. I am a constituent and a resident of Cambria, California, and I am still deeply offended by those of you who think you have the right to supersede our vote. It is, we've already voted. We've already made this decision. It's your job to follow through. And yes, we are in a pandemic. Many people have increased their takeout consumption, and we're already been killing ourselves, our children, the future generations, and the planet with toxins from these hazardous chemicals. And it's time to take responsibility. It's way past time to take responsibility for our actions. We are destroying the only home that we have. And it's not just us, it's the other generations, it's the other species, it's plants, it's land, it's water, it's air. We all live here, and none of those toxins are going to obey your boundaries. It is BS, quite honestly, for you to try to take over. You are fought to follow through. Less than half of the 280 million metric tons of plastic produced each year even ends up in a landfill. Much of the rest litters our landscape, is blown by the wind, and washed downstream into our rivers and into the sea. I apologize. So far, Americans spend $520 million a year to clean up plastic litter washing up on our West Coast beaches. You have the responsibility now to represent us and follow through on ending this. You have the responsibility to listen to us. We have spoken. It is a clear public sentiment, and it is a clear mandate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Allison. Patty?
One moment. Harry Farmer, you should be able to speak.
Thank you. First, I had to unmute myself. So hopefully most of you remember, let's say all of you remember much or most of what I said in the previous item. So I'm returning to kind of elaborate on what I stated. So Harry, I'm Harry Farmer, Cambria resident for 34 years. First, I want to say that I totally support, I'm very thankful for the comments made earlier by Ms. Bettenhausen and more recently by Ms. Dahlman. We as citizens of Slo County and therefore of planet Earth, you know, we too need to acknowledge our obligation, not just to our fellow human beings, but to all animal species on this planet. Limiting and ultimately eliminating plastic products that are seriously harmful and ultimately toxic to all living beings on this planet should take precedence over the current economics of the situation that, let's say, a number of members of your board seem to feel take priority. So please vote against Ordinance 2021-3-1 and allow Ordinance 2019-1 to remain in place. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you taking the time to address this issue. Thank you.
Thanks again, Harry. Patty, anyone else?
Yes, Lucille, you should be able to speak.
Hello, my name is Lucille Bosco. I live in Camp, California for 21 years. I had sent in a letter, but I just wanted to bring up the issue because it seems like the board is more concerned about money than it is about life, and that there are so many other options that stopping against plastic and polystyrene would not make the cost go up for all the restaurants and all the people that are addicted to polystyrene. There is options out there. Do a little research, and there's more jobs out there that are pro-environmental, and that would make all of us happy. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Lucille. Patty, anyone else?
No, Mr. Ant, it looks like that's everyone.
Okay, thank you. I'll close public comment. I'll bring it back to the board for further discussion. Board comments?
Robert, it's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie, please.
Yeah. In response to some of the speakers, I just want to say for me, again, I want to say that this item, this issue, and others, I would prefer to see these things brought before the different city councils and the Board of Supervisors in their jurisdiction where they're being decided upon by the people that voted them into that position. That's been my deal all along. But at any rate, I would like to go ahead and make a motion to approve staff's recommendation here.
I'll second, John Prashan.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to confirm that Ms. Mark's request for an 8-vote supermajority is on record. I will indicate that I will be voting against this motion and would appreciate the consideration if, in fact, the motion fails, the ordinance stays in place. I'd like to come back with a motion regarding staff direction on enforcement and future steps.
All right. Thank you for that.
Jan Marks.
Jan Marks, please.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. Well, I want to reiterate what Supervisor Gibson said. And I also want to say that if you, that if it turns out that we do defeat the repeal today of the polystyrene ordinance, that I hope that the Board of Supervisors takes it very seriously in terms of the threat that has been made to withdraw from the JPA. And I hope that the Board of Supervisors will do a very thorough fiscal and environmental analysis of the consequences and understand that if the county withdrew, they would still be liable for all past debts and expenses. I don't know if that's been figured into the calculation that our CEO made earlier. But as a taxpayer, if the Board of Supervisors, I know that there's stress in the budget, if they would be willing to basically, as far as I'm concerned, waste taxpayers' money trying to make their own JPA, then the rest of the jurisdictions would still remain in the JPA, and it would take under our memorandum of understanding and the ordinance, the agreement, we would just have two integrated waste management associations in that point. So the county would be doing theirs and everybody else would be doing ours. I think that would be truly destructive and financially really wasteful. So I'm hoping that if the ordinance is maintained, the repeal is defeated, that we then look at, we go ahead and at a later time, look at if there's any kind of amendments to the ordinance that would make it more acceptable to everyone. And I'm going to vote no on the repeal.
All right, thank you, Jan.
Mr. Chair, John Hammond.
John Hammond, please.
I think I would be so bold to say that the Paso Robles will be joining the county, as well as leaving the IWMA. We've already talked about that. We've already explored the cost. Do it on our own. So, again, it's more the authority of and the power that a few other cities have over others is really the main rub here. So I hope that the IWMA can stand on its own without us. I hope they do. But I think, again, if we go this way, we're going to definitely be getting into more trouble. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John. Anyone else?
Excuse me, President Enns, but Ms. Arnold has her hand raised.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Who was that?
If you all can hear me, I just wanted to clarify that I had heard Jan ask for the 8 vote deal in the prior item, but I don't remember hearing her ask for it in this one. So I just wanted to be clear before the vote was taken, if you meant to invoke that for this item number 9.
Yes, I did. And that's what I said in my email, and that's what I've also said verbally. Yes, so the supermajority would be required in order to uphold the repeal.
Okay, that's correct. Charles?
Robert, thank you. I won't go into my reasons for having changed my vote when I voted for the ordinance, which in some ways I regret, and then now having voted for the repeal. Maybe I will go into there. I'm very concerned about the direction and focus of the IWMA, and that we're going to be spending staff time doing this when we should be focusing on 1383. I understand Supervisor Gibson, wanting us to lay off the enforcement piece. Enforcement does concern me, not because of the boilerplate language in there about, time in jail, which shouldn't be there. It shouldn't be in any of our ordinances, and it doesn't have to be there. I'm not concerned about that. I am concerned about something we did in November when we adopted the mandates only thing. At that time, I made an initial appeal for option number 3, which was mandates and models. And the reason for that was that under our mandates only option that we agreed to, we said enforcement would be done by the local jurisdictions. So now we have a situation when this ordinance goes into effect that when somebody who feels passionately about this, and this has happened in San Luis Obispo, goes into a store and says, hey, you've got this on the shelf, you've got that on the shelf, it's not supposed to be here, calls the city and expects enforcement activity to occur. At that time, that's happened under the city ordinance. At Tascadero, one of our feelings about this entire process has been, we didn't want to be in the styrofoam police business. We thought that it would be more effective for the IWMA to enforce its own ordinances. And we don't want to be in the business. Ultimately, as time passes on, even when we get to all of the ordinances required by 1383, to say that the IWMA is going to pass an ordinance and the cities have to enforce it. Now, we all know that we have to enforce things passed by the state all the time, but at this level, if we're going to be enforcing a polystyrene-related ordinance, we'd want it to be one of our choosing. And I've proposed to our city council that if this rescission or repeal went through, that we look at a polystyrene ordinance focused solely on food and beverage containers from restaurants. In other words, a narrowly focused one. Because I am concerned about the issues regarding packaging. I think that I should have voiced more concern about that at the time of the adoption, because that puts our local businesses at a disadvantage of people can ship things into the county. And we all know, you can get more styrofoam in one box of furniture than you'll see in a year of takeout. And yet our local wineries, et cetera, in the county can't ship something out the same way. And I think that might put them at a disadvantage. So there's a number of reasons for me to go where I'm at. But what I'm disappointed in is our inability to compromise. And I do hope that the county supervisors consider very carefully before seeking to remove themselves from the IWMA and perhaps propose some alternative measures here. Take some time to think about and propose some alternative measures. But I will, you know, vote for repeal, but I think we can all see where this is going.
All right. Thank you, Charles. Any other board member?
Karen Bright here, please.
Karen, please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I can honestly say there was definitely a misunderstanding, I believe, on a number of board members' parts, mine included. When we voted for mandates only, I never imagined that something we had already voted for would be included in that vote. So I never thought that we would be discussing this ordinance related to that issue, since that issue came along after the ordinance had already been voted upon. So I think that's an issue at this point in time. I've heard other people say the same thing. So I never considered that this ordinance would be subject to that stipulation, since it had already had public input, had it been voted on, had not been rescinded. There'd been no discussion about it ever being rescinded. It was in my mind, and I think in the minds of all the people who had put in their public input, had done the research and so on and so on, that it was a done deal. So so that, I think there is just a miscommunication on a lot of people's part. As far as withdrawing from this agency, I truly do hope that that's not the case, because the expense that would be thrown on to constituents of the folks that are in this county would be immense. And I would be incredibly disappointed if our county leaders would do such a thing to their constituents. So thank you for the time.
Thank you, Karen. Any other board member?
John Pashon.
John, please go ahead.
I think we can kind of all see where this is going with the supermajority vote. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it and discuss this over the last few years. I still believe that this is going to cost our small businesses some additional revenue, and it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt, I believe, people in the North County. As I said earlier, I have had only one constituent send a letter to me stating that they supported it or supported the ban. A lot of them that said they did not support the ban. So I'm going to vote today to approve the adoption of ordinance 2021-3-1, and that will repeal the ordinance. I don't know if we'll get there, but we'll give it a shot. I did want to point out to the speakers that called in from the San Luis Obispo County Democrat Party that kind of equated this with slavery. I think that that's probably over the line. And, when you get into the heat of rhetorical battle, sometimes I think you need to take a deep breath and check your statements and your thoughts. And it's not just the one thing that's come up, there's been a number of people who have viciously attacked a number of board members that are on this board, done background research on them and try to embarrass them and to push them in a certain direction. And I think you're wrong in doing that. I think if you can't win on the merits of the argument, you can't win. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Anyone else?
Robert, may I just make a comment?
Lynn Compton, please.
Thank you. I didn't realize John was going to go there, but I will be glad to add to that too. And not going to do this now, but I will do it at the next meeting. And I have some emails that were forwarded to me where you have people that are advocating for this ban that are going after individual families, have notified newspapers that are doing it. And it's people that have spoken today trying to destroy personal businesses of individuals on this board. And that crosses the line. And so, and some of them are elected officials in our county. So again, I appreciate discussion on things. I think there's a perfect compromise that we've looked at before, and you know, you don't infringe on the other jurisdictions, but you know, if we're going to now pull this 8-vote majority card at every meeting, it sounds like now that it's been discovered, I mean, I just see all these problems down the road. But you know, I think I will forward this to Brooks, these letters that I received, and I assume other people got them. But it's ridiculous going after individual members on this board and their businesses and their families. Shame on the people doing that. So those are my comments.
Mr. Chairman, this is Bruce. If I could add on to that,
please.
If Supervisor Compton, if you do forward that to Brooks, please, Brooks, would you forward that to the board as a whole? Because I agree with Supervisor Compton, not having seen any of the content of this. If we have,
I'll be glad to read it.
If we have folks advocating on policy and drawing in personal attacks, especially to families of elected and appointed officials, that is unacceptable, and we should condemn it in the strongest possible terms. I agree with Supervisor Pichon that I did not hear exactly the reference to slavery, but it didn't sound good, and I would urge future commenters to this board to refrain from that sort of rhetoric.
So I need to ask a question here. Maybe Bruce, you could help, or Lynn Compton. This quote, veiled threat of the county pulling out. Can you explain the implications of what that might mean? Either of you?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's beyond the scope. I don't know. I have not heard any such threat today. We're debating a matter of policy within the rules that have been established by this JPA. And it's within that framework that I think we need to operate. I have no idea what the future holds. I would assume, and I certainly would hope, that elected officials would take a careful look at the best way to implement requirements that this county is, you know, obligated to implement. And I think that discussion really is one for another day and another venue. So again, I do not see that whether this ordinance, if this ordinance stands, that we are talking a major burden that's going to be imposed. I think there are legitimate philosophic issues that we have debated here as to the appropriate role of a regional agency. But I do go back to the idea that we had properly considered a number of ordinances at IWMA, the polystyrene one included. The polystyrene ordinance passed with 8 votes, and we've gone from there. So I do subscribe to the idea that the question of looking at mandates only was a forward-looking aspect of our strategic plan, and one that I endorse going forward. But I think given the current situation, again, I've stated my position, and hopefully we can have the appropriate discussions on related matters at the appropriate time if necessary.
Thank you for that perspective, Ma'am.
Chairman Enns.
Yeah, Jan.
Yeah, I would like to, unless there are more comments, I would just like to call a question. I have to explain that I'm doing a webinar at 5, and I'm leading it. And so I really
no problem.
Want to move forward if possible. Thank you.
You've called the question, and I'll call for the vote. Cheryl?
Thank you, President Enns. Just for clarification on the record, this is a three-part recommendation, and I just want to make sure that we understand that item number two is to waive the second reading of the ordinance following a reading of the title in full, which I'll do real quickly. This is a public hearing to consider the adoption of ordinance number 2021-3-1, an ordinance repealing ordinance number 2019-1 regarding the regulation of polystyrene and expanded polystyrene food containers and products. And number three is to direct staff to publish the ordinance in a newspaper of general circulation within 15 days after the adoption with the names of the members voting for and against the ordinance. For the record, I just wanted to make that part. And I have my motion maker as Ms. Arnold. Can I get a roll call vote from you, please?
Yes, and thank you, Cheryl, for reading that full recommendation. My vote is yes.
Absolutely. Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
No.
Ms. Compton?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
No.
Mr. Hammond?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
No.
Ms. Marks?
No.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg? Ms. Ortiz-Legg, do we have you here present? I'll move on. Mr. Storton?
No.
And Mr. Enns?
Yes.
That is a 7-6, so the motion does not pass. We have one absent vote.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I might.
I'm here. I'm here. Yes, it was a no vote.
A no vote for Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
So I believe now it's a 7-6, correct?
I believe you're right. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if you would entertain a motion on staff's direction at this point.
Yes, please.
Given that the ordinance is apparently in effect with the failure of that motion, I move we direct staff to send information regarding the polystyrene ordinance and alternative materials to polystyrene to all relevant businesses and other entities. And that we postpone further enforcement efforts until we have developed our AB 1383 implementation program and until the results of the proposed ballot measure on plastics and recyclables have been decided.
Second.
Okay, the first by Bruce Gibson, second by Jeff Heller. And I'll open it to board discussion.
If I might just add on, my reasoning here is we have an ordinance in effect. I am, as other members have indicated, also concerned with the prioritization of our staff's current resources. And I think this is a sensible approach to directing efforts. And it also, I think, appropriately acknowledges the wider context of what's happening at the state level.
Chairman Enns, I would like to know, I wonder if we could possibly take this motion up next month, because then I could see it in writing and I would know fully, I'd have a chance to think about it, you know? So that's a question. Either that, or could Cheryl or someone actually type it out and put it on the screen so we can see what we are voting, what we're actually voting on.
So, Chairperson Enns, we do have a motion and a second. I believe Supervisor Gibson was reading from a note, if I'm not mistaken. Is it possible to maybe reread your motion?
I certainly would be happy to, and I could do that after other comments before we come to a vote on it.
Thank you.
Robert.
Thank you, Debbie.
I just want to say, and I agree with Jen. First of all, we aren't finished with the meeting, and Jen's already told us she has a little bit of a hard stop time. This kind of a complex motion coming in right after a vote, it definitely seems like it would have a cost to it and a lot of other things that I think it needs to be agendized. We can discuss these things that Supervisor Gibson's bringing up, but I think it needs to be agendized for next time. And there needs to be a lot more detail before we just go into a lengthy discussion and vote on something that we really don't have a lot of information on, nor were we prepared for.
Okay.
Thank you, Debbie.
Chairperson Anns, with understanding Director Marks and Supervisor Arnold's comments, I do believe Supervisor Gibson is just simply looking for direction to staff, which I don't think is...
It is direction to staff, but I think I can modify the motion to accommodate the desires specifically regarding potential costs, because that motion did include sending information. So unless other colleagues have issues, let me modify the motion as follows. My motion would be to direct staff to postpone enforcement efforts on the polystyrene ordinance until they can return to this board with an estimate of the cost of sending informational material on that ordinance to relevant businesses, and until, let me just leave it right at that, because the motion is to delay enforcement efforts until staff can return with an estimated cost of sending informational material on the polystyrene ordinance to relevant businesses and other entities.
Okay, thank you.
Robert, yes. May I ask a question?
Certainly.
I guess you can hear me. I do not understand this ordinance where Supervisor Gibson is asking to delay enforcement action on the polystyrene ordinance. Our last motion was to approve staff's recommendation, meaning we have repealed ordinance number 2019. So I don't believe we have a styrofoam ordinance in place. I'm just lost here, so sorry about that. But if someone could explain to me what we're talking about now.
Okay, yes. The last vote left our polystyrene ordinance in place.
Okay, thank you. You're right. I was miscalculating.
To add to it to some staff direction.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. I keep forgetting. I have to tell all my colleagues, I keep forgetting about that 8-vote, enacting that 8-vote situation, because in over 8 years that I've sat on this board, I had never heard it brought up, never read the bylaws deep enough, I guess, to understand that was a thing. So I'm sorry for forgetting that that had been enacted, and that a majority vote didn't matter, leaving the 2019 ban in place.
And Mr. Chairman, let me just make clear to you and to my colleagues that my intent of this motion is to address concerns that have been raised by colleagues who were in favor of repealing this, to work on how we proceed further in a logical fashion as regards this issue. So that's the intent of my motion.
Yeah, but Bruce, you've already got an ordinance telling everybody what was going to happen.
Right. Right. And
are you trying to change the ordinance or suggesting some change?
I'm trying to. This I think amounts to the compromise that some of the executive committee was talking about. Whereas we know we have a tremendous amount of work ahead of us on AB 1383. We're going to hear more about that in the next item. I'm taking advantage of our authority and opportunity to prioritize our staff's resources to concentrate on that rather than to be the styrofoam police that Mr. Bourbeau was talking about. We have that timing seems to work reasonably for me as we see what then happens at the state level that may obviate the need for what we're doing here. So what I'm trying to do is propose a rational approach to moving forward on the question of polystyrene in this county. And it really was as a in response to concerns that I've heard others express. I think the informational aspect of this is one way in which we can make some progress. And so I think that's the thinking I have behind that.
And that's why I voted for Charles' motion, because again, it was a great opportunity to have some compromise talked out.
Right.
But we didn't go there. So the right. motion is, you know, the resolution is going to stay and the language is what it is, and we're moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to ask Supervisor Gibson, when you spoke earlier in the meeting, you said that you were going to direct staff to prioritize education over enforcement. I thought that was going to be your motion.
Right.
So it seems to me that would make sense to complete the thought there.
I think that's exactly in the motion is to suspend enforcement, to delay enforcement efforts until staff has returned with an estimate of cost for education, and at that point we can discuss where we go from there. I don't think, especially given the time that we've spent on this item, I don't think there's a significant difference in that distinction.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce. Anyone else?
Robert, I just want to say, in political terms, Supervisor Gibson is trying to throw us a bone. Let's take it.
Thank you, Charles. I see that. Anyone else?
We had a motion. It was a revised motion by Supervisor Gibson. I believe Mr. Heller was the second. Does Mr. Heller support the revisions to the motion?
I support the revised motion.
All right.
Yes, I do have support the revised motion.
Jeff Heller and Jeff Henry. Thank you both.
I have a point of clarification.
Yes.
If I may, President. Sure. Mr. Gibson, so we'll bring back to you an estimate of the cost to send out that letter to all the affected businesses in May, and then some additional costs proceeding with some one-on-one education to the larger businesses, et cetera.
Whatever staffs believes would be helpful to guide the decision-making of this board on this matter.
Okay, we could do that in May. Thank you.
And I believe that was a delayed enforcement until I
come back. And enforcement actions will be suspended until such time as we've had time to consider this further.
Okay, thank you. I think the motion's clear. Any other board discussion? Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Yes, President Anson, for clarification, is this a regular vote? No.
Yes, yes or no?
No. No one has asked for any other.
Okay, thank you so much for that clarification. Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
No, I think we really need our staff to be focused on this upcoming legislation. No.
Mr. Burbeau.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Ms. Compton.
No, I wanted no enforcement in the beginning with the last vote, and so no.
Mr. Hammond.
No, the ordinance needs to be changed if we're going to be changing the language. Law is the law. And we need to change the law if we're going to do that. So, no. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
No.
Ms. Ortiz-Legge? Ms. Ortiz-Legge, are you there? Mr. Pichon?
No.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
I'm sorry, was that yes, Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Okay, so that is 7-6. Motion passes.
Do you want to circle back to Ms. Ortiz-Legge?
Ms. Ortiz-Legge, are you there? I'm having an absent vote from Mr. Teasleg.
Cheryl, I don't think it's a 7-6, is it? No, not without, not with
seven,
one person.
7-5.
7-5.
7-5.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I was thinking 13. Thank you for that correction.
Very good. All right. Then the motion passes. Thank you, Bruce. And we will go to item number 10. Brooks.
Thank you, President Enns. So you've heard a lot of discussion about the long-term cost of 1383, and we need two full-time employees to help manage the data and the compliance and the monitoring. We'd like to hire them a little bit sooner than planned, like we mentioned, because Kelly is up to speed and we have a lot of data to crunch and a lot of education on these multifamily housing units and small businesses that have not ever had the 3CAN system. So officially what we're asking you to do is approve the two new positions, and you can see the full org chart here so we're clear. It's the program coordinator and the management analyst. And then we're also recommending that because of these expanded duties and the responsibility that comes with managing multiple programs now, that the program director be reclassed to deputy director. That would also help with continuity within the agency long term. And so officially also you need to approve the pay grades. And so these were the job descriptions and pay grades were aligned with similar Slo County job classifications per our policy and procedures. And with that, I'll ask for discussion.
Okay, I'll turn it over to the board for discussion. It looks like we wore everybody out on the last item. So,
Chair Enns, I have a question, if I might.
Thank you, Jeff.
So, Brooks, I see you're funding this with a $65,000 temporary transfer. So does that mean you'll be replenishing that $65,000 once the funding mechanisms come into play?
Correct. These are those additional funds that we had in the budget and that $500,000 emergency fund for environmental issues.
Okay. That was my one question.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion. If you look on page 35, staff recommendation is to approve.
Chair Enns, public comment, Chairperson Enns.
Public comment.
I'll open this for public comment. Thank you, Jeff. Anyone wishing to comment on item number 10? Patty?
Okay, at this point in time, if a member of the public is interested in making a public comment, please select the raised hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, please press star 9. Mr. Enns, I'm not seeing anyone who wants to... anyone who wants to make a public comment at this time?
Very good. Then I'll close public comment. Again, Jeff, thank you. And I'll ask for a motion to approve staff recommendation.
So moved, Mr. Chairman. This is Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
This is Keith. I'll second.
Thank you, Keith. Any other board discussion? Seeing none, Cheryl, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Mr. Storton.
Yes.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes.
Mr. Burbeau.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Ms. Compton.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Ms. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Newton.
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Lake?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon? Yes, I can. Thank you for that. Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
And Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And we'll go to item 11. Any board, further board member comments or things you'd like to see on future agenda? Hearing none. My agenda doesn't have adjournment on it, so we're stuck. But I think I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting anyway. Thank you, everyone, for all your input. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.